Oh, man, what a Friday night. You are hanging out with us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. For the last few weeks, I've been talking about how lovely it has been in the city. The summer has been wonderful. I actually kind of like the cool breeze. And tonight, the streets are filled with Lollapalooza goers or people who are out about and happen to be swept up in the crowds leaving Grant Park. And everything is very, yes, hi. I don't know what signal we're making, but we're excited. I'm getting hand gestures. This, what would this be, Lise? What is this hand gesture? What is it? Raise the roof?
Raise the roof.
And then there's finger. I don't know. What's this one?
That's like rock on.
Rock on. Nobody else. Just those two guys. All right. I got to rock on and a raise the roof.
There's somebody waving.
Oh, here we go. That's more rocking on. Okay. You do it. I am truly distracted easily by people on the street, Elliot, aren't I?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, there are thousands right now.
They're all over, and I'm pretty sure most of them are Lala because as you see them go by, you see mud on them. You can tell that
with all your
when they're
she's
muddy.
She's like, I'm not muddy. What are you talking about? You know. She's like, I dare you to point out the mud on me.
But I saw a lot of muddy legs out there.
Well, yesterday we know it got rained out, and
yes.
I was leaving my second city class, not knowing that it had been rained out, and I was like, "Oh, I'll just take CTA." Like it was like 9:30, fine. Oh. I get there and it's just like, yeah, everybody is on the brown line and crammed in
just
there,
swamped.
Heard a lot of funny
things. You know, the good ways to commute these days, probably by taking a bike, which is our guest Rob Austin's form of transportation. Hey, Rob. Is it now? I'll turn your mic on. There you go. I had the wrong button pushed. Yeah. When I started hanging out with you a little bit, you were riding. I remember the first time I saw you and your son doing like the tandem bike to school because our kids went to the same school.
It's true. I do bike all over the city, and it's my preferred way to get around for sure.
And, you know, when did you start biking around Chicago? Because it's not the many of us are a little hesitant. We don't trust the drivers.
As you should be. As you should be. No, I started in grade school.
Okay, well, we all started riding bikes, most of us. Let's say 95% of people started riding their bikes. Okay, maybe 80%. Okay, 75. What do you think, Elliot?
Wait, are we talking about...
Riding a bike in grade school.
In grade school? Oh, yeah. No, definitely in grade school.
75%?
But way higher than that. Yeah.
Really? Okay, yeah. So you started riding your bike in grade school, but most of us stop riding it as a form of transport. Like, I would ride to the park, to baseball practice, to swimming, to... You know, the neighbor... I think my most, you know, for commuting was probably within a two-mile radius.
And that's probably within my initial wheelhouse, honestly.
Okay.
But I just decided one day that one of my least favorite things on earth was traffic.
Okay.
And getting on a bike meant that I didn't have to worry about that. I could get there as fast or faster occasionally and get a workout at the same time. So it's been great. The city has caught up with me, I think, in terms of...
Are there better stretches of streets in Chicago that you feel? Because Elston, they went an extra. They started putting those posts up, like those poles.
Yeah,
which have
been run over.
That's what I was thinking. It never seemed like the biggest.
No.
Have you been to other countries where the biking really has done well? Like
no,
Denmark is great.
I haven't. My world of biking knowledge is only about Chicago.
Okay,
but it's pretty extensive.
And are drivers catching up to bike traffic?
You mean in the sense, do they literally try to catch up and run them over?
Yes.
Sometimes
it seems that way. Giving you the right of, not the right of way, but treating you as though you are also with the flow of traffic.
No. In fact, one of my least favorite things to see on the road is a divvy bike because it means that.
Oh, no.
that's one of my least favorite things to do.
When I drive by a divvy station and it's empty, my heart breaks a little bit because it means there's a lot of people out there that are. Probably working against all the things I've been trying to do for the last 20 years.
The amateurs who are ruining it for everybody else.
That is a well put way. Yeah, that's a nice way to say what I was thinking. Yes.
Okay. You and I were hanging out the other day. We do a little, some business together as far as my company with Kind Words. I consult with medical professionals and educators who work with special needs children. And we're trying to build this, you know, the website and other things. But when we were talking, I was surprised because I follow you on Instagram and I'll see some of the places that you visit. I know that you went to the Iron Horse in my neighborhood. And I was like, what brought you out there? And you're like, oh, they have this particular beer that I wanted to try.
That's exactly right.
And that's when I found out that you have tried in the Chicagoland area 215 different types of beer.
Yes.
Okay.
That's literally true.
Yesterday it was 214.
214, yes. It's gone up by one.
And how do you keep track of the number? Because, I mean, I've tried different beers, and I don't have... Elliot, do you have a...
I don't even remember how many beers I've had, period.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
I have an app called Untappd, which helps me keep track of what I've had and where I've had it. For the longest time, I used it to track every literal beer I had, and I've come to find out that, you know, savvy Untappd users probably just do it the first time they have a beer, not every time they have a beer. But at least it tells me how many of those were different beers.
Sure.
So 215, but I got to tell you, that's a pittance compared to some of the people I know.
What would you say? Like, tell me, what's a mid-range? What's a mid-range number you've seen on? Because there are other people using the same app.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can track. You can kind of.
900 is.
What?
Middle.
900 different beers. Not 900 beers, which means they may have had two of the same beer.
And it wouldn't count.
It wouldn't count. It is not a new beer.
There's one guy. He owns a liquor store, to be fair, but he's got over 1,700.
What?
Mm-hmm.
He has tried 1,700 different beers.
Yes, and they're all cataloged.
And so. On this app, it's called Untappd.
Untappd.
And can you rate the beers and do like a critique or?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of beers I've had that I didn't enjoy. But I can admit that they made a beer. They, you know, put it in a can. They sold it to somebody. So they're probably ahead of most people. So it's not bad. It's just not my taste.
I'm not sure if effort is really a rating.
Us in a can? Come on.
Is there a thing? Do you have a preference between tap, bottle, and can?
Absolutely. I have a rule.
Okay.
If I can buy it in the store, I don't need to buy it in your bar.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
Like, I could have gotten that at Target. Sure. I don't need that here. I don't need a bottle of what I have in my fridge here. That's not exciting.
That's how I am about spaghetti. Is that weird? I can make spaghetti at home. No, because, I mean, like, spaghetti is like 12 cents a barrel. And... and I'm going to pay
12 cents a barrel.
I don't know.
What the farm?
You got to buy in bulk.
I'm going to buy. I'd like a barrel of spaghetti, please.
But that is kind of a wonderful consideration because you are paying more for being in the restaurant. You have to tip, you know.
And I'd
a lot
be
more.
Happy to do that as long as it's something I couldn't get my hands on without your help.
I think we need to mark that for Nick D's show. I know he's off next week, but I think that something I can't get my hands off without your help truly belongs out of context. Anyway, if there's ever been a sentence that really belongs out of context, I'm pretty sure that's the one. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Hmm. I think that's a great sort of a bar to set to make sure.
The litmus test is, was this available to me at the grocery store? No.
No.
Then I'd like to try it.
Okay. And I generally try to go for the ones that are on tap. You know, if they have a nice, so we were at Howls and Hood tonight, you and I and Elliot. You and me, Elliot and Lise, were all at Howls and Hood next door. Now, Howls and Hood will be closing at the beginning of 2018. And that's a restaurant that I've enjoyed for the entire time they've been open. So Howls and Hood occupies a lot of the first floor of the Tribune Tower. That used to all be WGN Studios. So one of the reasons that we love hanging out there is that used to be where, like, that was where Steve and Johnny used to broadcast from. When I would come in and be a guest on Steve Cochran's show, every year for Thanksgiving, we would broadcast from there. Milt Rosenberg broadcasted from it. Those were all of our sales offices. So that was all of our, that was all WGN property as well. And when that restaurant came in, we kind of all loved that they, one, incorporated the engravings of the lobby sayings. Like, they, instead of it being about the press and about the freedom of speech, they made it about sort of bar quotes and eating quotes. There's Mark Twain, there's Carl Sandburg, there's some great quotes.
Al Capone.
And I love Howls and Hood, so that's why I wanted you to hang out there. I know it's a little bit different than some of the places you have frequented.
No, it was great. Any place that has 100 lines,
yes.
I am down with that.
And that's the thing. So for those of you who've never been to Howls and Hood, if you like beer, that's a joint you got to visit. It may, you know, it might be a little bit pricier than what you expect in your neighborhood joints, you know, and definitely more than you're going to pay at your Target. But they have such a great selection. And everyone that works there will go through, like, our server. I told her I wanted a creamy ale. She goes, oh, you like a sawtooth. None of you liked it. None of you liked the creamy ale. But creamy ale's not your thing.
No, it's not. But she knew
her
stuff.
Yeah.
She could talk the talk and help guide people towards a great choice. And any place that can do that is okay by me.
There you go. Elliot, we need to start riding our bikes to the bars.
You do that. The only thing I like creamy is the sauce that I put on my barrel of spaghetti.
All right, everyone live there for a moment. Do we have our bartender from House and Hood coming in? Do we know? All right, let's go check in a moment. We are talking about, by the way, for anyone else out there, is there anyone that is, one, on Untappd, which is an app you can use in order to keep track of the different types of beer that you're trying? Or are you, because my husband does this too. You and Steve are friends. You've known each other mm-hmm. on and off.
Sure.
Our kids don't go to school anymore, so you don't get a chance to hang out anymore. But what Steve liked to do, whenever we would travel, he would basically, our pattern of touring a city would be based on a certain definition of bars in the area. So in London, he picked only, it was a pub crawl. And it had to be pubs that were from before the fire in the 1400s in London.
Oh.
So we went to all the, like, we had to go to each location. And there was one that had previously been a little prison, then became a stable. And it really was, like, on a neighborhood block. Have you been to any of those where it's, like, really in the neighborhood?
Oh.
Like a neighborhood joint?
I have been to a place that's in my neighborhood. It took me 20 years to walk in the door because it's literally inside somebody's house.
Yes.
It's one of those, like, grandfathered in places.
Newark Nook is like that.
So intimidating.
Yes.
Because you know that all those people knew each other for 25 years.
And you walk in.
And they all look at you like, who are you? But I did finally make it into one of those places.
What's the name of it? Tell us. Tell us.
Okay, it's called TNA 2.
Of course it is.
TNA 2.
All right.
Been owned by the same lady for like 40 years. It's not the place it was back in the day, but it was still super cool to finally go there in the middle of a very residential neighborhood.
The Newark Nook and TNA 2.
TNA 2.
Those are your assignments, everyone. Find those joints.
Scratch that one off your list for sure.
And good luck with that one. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's Lollapalooza Madness out of Michigan Avenue. Actually, this is much quieter than it was 15 minutes ago, Elliot. It's calmed down already, hasn't it?
Yeah, because people were running by. They were waving. And
I was getting a lot of this.
You're getting a lot of the rock-ons.
Rock-on.
We're getting a lot of other things. One guy was like running into the glass, but
yeah, I heard that. And if the thing is, if I turn to people who are banging on the glass, it encourages them.
Yeah.
So I try to.
That's called positive reinforcement.
Yeah,
for you
that.
Animal behavior folks out there.
So I don't reinforce the animals.
I don't want to do that. But now it's kind of cleared up.
Yes.
Not
it
so
has.
Many muddy people.
Not so. I don't know. Show me your mud. That's what we should do for the rest of the show. Show me your mud. Rob Austin, who is our guest. The name of your the company that you work for, building websites?
Worksite.
And you have tried something that I discovered over one of our conversations recently. You have tried over 215 different beers in the Chicagoland area. But you were telling us that is a pittance compared to the number of beers other people have consumed. Including a liquor store owner who has tried 1,700 beers.
1,700. Well, I mean, I think partially because his job involves tasting beers that he's selling to people. But still, that's amazing.
Well, it's nice to be able to catalog all that because you know what you like. Eric Elk joins us in studio.
That is a heck of a weekend.
Yeah, right. That is.
In Springfield, no less.
Well, you get to a point where you can't literally remember if you've had this one before.
So you have the app
so
now.
So you have to look it up and go, what did I think of this? Or did I ever have it before this?
The app is called, we should have the creators of Untappd on because.
Oh, brilliant.
Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
Yes. So
I need something to remind me of what I drank.
And what you liked.
Right.
I mean, I have that every morning. What was that?
What was that I enjoyed? Well, I don't like IPAs. We were talking about this earlier. We stopped at House and Hood before the show. And IPAs, everyone seems to like IPAs. All of you liked IPAs. I do not enjoy that at all. Also, most of you don't like sours. And I
knew.
I love sours.
It was so good.
Oof.
Really?
That was really sour.
Both of them. Yeah, that first one was like a Jolly Rancher.
It was so good.
It was like I took a bite out of like a Warhead. Remember Warhead?
I do remember. It was delightful.
Really good. And then what was Then there's a raspberry one.
That was a there were three sours that we tried because we had a flight.
Like sample sizes. Yes. It's not like we were.
Mm-hmm. We had sample sizes. And we sampled each other.
Purely for, scientific research.
Sample sizes. Those are big. These are big.
They give you like a half glass as a sample size.
That was a big sample.
It's very nice. And do you remember what got you started on this journey of trying out different beers?
I do actually remember what got me started.
Now, I'm not saying that your 215 beers would erase a memory of how this launched. But
though at times it has hindered it. About 10 years ago, I literally did not drink alcohol of any kind.
Okay.
Was not interested. It just didn't taste good to me. Didn't taste as good as...
Did I know you 10 years ago? I think I met you...
Yes, you did.
Let's see if our boys are... They're 13. No, our boys were 5, so it's been...
So it was right before that. But about 10 years ago, I suddenly flipped a switch. I found a beer I really liked and suddenly decided to see what else was out there. So.
And before that, you like would have a beer occasionally?
I'd get through it. People called me the nurse. Let's just say that.
It would last the entire night.
Yeah, because I could
I'm not
get
saying
through,
nurses last
I could
the whole
make
night.
An entire...
That's dirty.
No, that's dirty.
They all call me the nurse.
I mean that you would nurse it all night long.
Literally, yes. One bottle and I was good for the entire evening. I said that I got through a neck of beer.
Ooh, and it'd be warm
terrible.
By that point.
It was terrible. I just didn't like it.
Okay.
But...
But and nothing else you didn't like a, even something no. simple. And you didn't seek out the sensation of having alcohol.
Nope. Okay. I didn't. If other people want to do it, fine.
Elliot, you and me both were like, I don't
know.
But then switch got flipped.
And what was that beer?
That was Lagunitas something something.
Okay.
That was the beer that got me into beer for sure.
So you tasted that beer and you're like, well, this is something different. I've never had one like this.
Almost.
Before that, presumably, you had Miller's, Budweiser's,
Coronas. Yeah, sure.
Coronas.
I mean, I choked down my Miller Lights, my Bud Lights or whatever, and I was like, really? This is it? But I think as the renaissance of new beers and new breweries came on, that's when my taste changed. And it was a great just coincidence and confluence of things.
That's so cool, though, because I don't like all beers, but I do enjoy a cold beer. There are times I even like there's a Blue Moon has a line. They all do, every year they do these different flavors.
Oh, yeah. The
I like
honey,
the horchata,
the white, the horchata. Yes.
Ooh.
Cinnamon horchata.
They have,
oh, it's
horchata?
So good. Horchata beer. Dude.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so sorry I didn't bring it. I will bring some for you next week.
I'll go find it.
It's so delicious.
Good. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Do you
I love to order a tall horchata when I go in and get like good couple
some enchiladas.
Of
oh, my God.
Goodness.
Yeah. For those who don't know what an horchata is.
And it's so cold with the ice on there. It's like having like ice with your milk.
Have you had a horchata with vodka? Dude, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I like the way you're stepping up the game.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Maybe before the night's over. Who knows?
I'm just saying. I'm just, as long as we're in this vein of conversation, but horchata, it has, for those who don't know, it is a
rice milk with cinnamon. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love horchata.
It is tasty.
Did you say there was a horchata beer? I was out of
there. Is Blue Moon.
Blue Moon. And we are moving into pumpkin season. There are a lot of pumpkin ales out there that are interesting. Do you not like the pumpkin ales?
Yeah.
That's not my jam, but yes.
There's one that's really good. We have a... So Jackie Paulus, who used to be our head of marketing here at WGN, she had cellared several pumpkin ale beers that had been sent to her. And she realized as we were approaching the fall season that someone had taken her pumpkin ales. And it's really hard to get in the Chicagoland area. It sells out very quickly. I had my producer at the time, Craig Collins, reached out to the brewers, and it's like on the East Coast, and they sent her a 4-pack of these huge, bigger bottles of that. And we took two. Because, I mean, we went through the effort. I think that was only fair. But there are terrible ones out there, but there are some really good ones. I'm just saying.
I will take your word for that.
Okay. Well, I'll make you taste it, because you tasted my sours.
Yes. I read an article I don't know, 5 years ago, and I like to cite my sources, but I can't cite this one.
Okay.
But 40% of the beer production in the United States was Bud Light.
Really?
The next 30% was Miller Lite.
Oh, dear.
And every other beer was the next 30%.
Oh, my God.
Okay. With all the breweries in Chicago, with all the breweries in the United States, it's never been a better time to find something outside of those two.
Yes. There's a Japanese, is it Sapporo? It's one of the Japanese beer companies has bought a bunch of American beers just today, by the way. So that's going to change it a little bit. But the you were telling us that the local breweries, there's only the two top.
Yeah, I checked the numbers. I did bring the article with me. It's 150 breweries here in the Chicagoland area. This was earlier this year. And that was second only to Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah, some good stuff.
So, like, we are, according to Crain's, we are the epicenter of the United States as far as beers and variety and beers that exist on the coasts want to come to the United to Chicago to see how their stuff fares in a really competitive market.
How do you compete? It's all good. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase Studio. What's your beer? Because I like, by the way, Rob, that was I let you taste my sour was what I said. I believe.
No, I got you.
Do you like my sours?
Yes, I do.
No, do you like sour beers?
Wow. No.
Poor Roger. Roger's like, I'm not going to be able to do this show at all
tonight.
Man,
I'm so sorry. I'm just going to stay quiet.
Do you have a beer preference? Because I know that you and I both enjoy our bourbon.
We do. Maybe the IPAs, darker beers.
What is that? I don't understand how you guys can drink IPAs. I mean, I understand you don't understand how I can drink sours, but IPAs are not.
Yeah. That's kind of the road I go down.
All right, then. Yeah. The creamy ales. I like the stouts.
Yes.
Lagers.
Yeah, me too.
Pilsners. Why do you give me that face, Mr. Austin?
Just clearer and clearer beers, that's all. Just not my jam. I find that the higher the alcohol content, the more I like it.
Let's do this. I have a gift card to Apt Electronics. Tell us about this. What you were telling me earlier that there was a blind taste test of a bunch of different beers. Don't tell us which one was the one that was picked as the best, but let people know how many different were tested.
So there was an article in the Tribune recently, or Tribune Online, where they had three of the brewers from big breweries in Chicago, Pollyanna, Revolution, and Half Acre. The brewers from those breweries blind taste test 16 macro brews. So like the Bud Lights, the Miller Lights, the old styles. And without knowing what they were ahead of time, they said, what do you think? You know? And can I tell you what the
number? No, because people have to guess.
Okay.
It's a big name beer. It's been around for a long time. We actually have mentioned this beer on the show, not tonight, but previous nights. We have talked about this beer before on the show. So 312-981-7200 in a blind taste test of over 16 beers. Which one did the testers pick as their favorite beer?
Favorite macro brew.
Macro brew, meaning the bigger breweries.
The bigger, yeah.
National
the ones you've
brand
definitely
names.
Heard of, especially
you
in
have
Chicago.
Heard of them, yes. 312-981-7200. I have a gift card from Apt Electronics. If you can tell us what blind taste testers chose as their favorite beer from the big name breweries. 312-981-7200.
I love the colorful clothes you wear. And the way the sunlight plays upon her head. I hear the sound of a gentle wind.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's Friday night, and we are having a good time. Elliot, I'm so happy to have you back with us. I know you've been busy the last few weekends. You've had some obligations that have taken you away from us.
Well, I am back.
Thank you so much.
I can't believe I missed Star Wars.
Well, that was not my fault. Here's the thing. I felt that it was a scene we could do that night, and there are so many more we can do.
Good
we'll day. Stretch it out a little bit.
Well, it was a cantina scene.
It was a cantina scene.
All I know is that I am destined.
Han shot first.
Han shot first, but I mean, I am destined to play Luke in any scene we do in the future. So,
who did we have playing Luke that night, you guys? That was, do we remember who was playing Luke? It was it Representative Anderson? No.
I don't think that there was a Luke. There was
no Luke.
No, it was the cantina.
Yes, he had
to be. Luke was in there, but it was like he had one line or something. Right. It was not Luke's finest hour. But Elliot, I have to. We missed you that night. I'm like, I begged to do Star Wars just to mock Ken.
Yeah, and he successfully mocked.
And we did. And so, but I'm like, oh, Elliot, my partner in Jedi has to be here, and you weren't here, man.
Yeah, you guys were messaging
me. You let
me
down.
I'm sorry. I was off on a. Training with Yoda.
If I haven't, well played.
Oh, wait, you were.
Let me introduce our guests tonight. Elliot is hanging out. He's riding sidecar tonight, as he often does on Friday nights, unless obligations take him somewhere else, and that's fine. We understand completely. Also joining us tonight is Rob Austin, who told me about an app that he has been using over the last year to try 215 different beers in the Chicagoland area. And if you're wondering how he stays in great shape, because if you can watch us on WGNradio.com live stream, you're like, he doesn't look like he drinks 215 beers. He rides his bike to every single destination. So burns
certainly
calories.
Helps burn them off.
It burns them off. And you were telling me that there was a blind taste testing recently, about macro brewers.
Yes, because people have such a bias against macro brews with all the IPAs that you dislike. Now available.
Really?
That,
I don't like IPAs.
Oh.
Not a little, not even a bit.
People wondered
like
how.
Discrimination for some particular reason? Or
were you touched by an IPA in a weird place?
Dropped in a barrel?
It makes my mouth sad. So.
Wow. I've heard that one before. Oh!
I feel regret. So.
I've heard that one too.
That's what it tastes like. IPAs taste like regret. So. To me. So you have tried 215 different beers in the Chicagoland area using Untappd. And so when you found out about this this blind taste testing, you were kind of...
Well, sure. I'm curious to hear how the big boys would do in a climate where the little craft brews are doing so well. And they had nothing but... Well, they didn't have nothing but glowing things to say. They at least gave credit where credit was due. The breweries that we've heard of, like Bud Light and Miller Lite, they're really good at making a beer. Wherever they make it, it tastes the same, and it tastes good, and it tastes good for a while. So they said there's no such thing as bad. There's just not our taste.
Right.
So
All right.
They didn't dislike anything outright.
But there was one beer they thought was better than the rest.
There was one beer.
And so let's see what Joanne has a guess. For which beer did these blind taste testers think ranked above the rest? Joanne, what do you think?
Pabster?
Was it Pabst Blue Ribbon?
It was not.
It
that,
was not
That
Pabst.
Did well, but that was not the number one.
It did well. That's good to know. Are you a fan, Joanne, of Pabst Blue Ribbon?
No, I thought that was it.
I could see that. I think a lot of people have. And plus, I think for me, it would be like, oh, this tastes like my dad. From my childhood, like he loved, I would sneak a taste of his PBR. You know, so it would be a memory. So I think some people like it for memory. Thank you, Joanne. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you. And then Jefferson, what do you think it was?
I guess Hams.
Is it Hams?
It was Hams.
It's Hams.
It was Hams.
Wow. From well done, Jefferson.
Land of high blue waters.
Waters.
See, and that was what I really should have been ready for, was that spontaneous bursting out into song. Now, Jefferson, did you think because you like Hams that that might be the answer, or did you had you read this piece on the blind taste test?
No, I didn't read it, and to be honest with you, I'm not a huge beer fan anymore, but I can tell you, so long story short, I'm in the community development affordable housing world, and back in May, I went to a fundraiser for a micro lender based here in Chicago, and they had it up 250 South Wacker in the offices of Miller Coors, where there's like a bar that you can rent out and all the employees drink for free, I think
right.
after four.
Okay.
And so, not being a beer drinker, I said, well, I'll just take the one I'm most familiar with, which was the Hams. And, I'll be honest, it wasn't that bad. I mean,
it's not
Schlitz
that bad.
And Hams, Schlitz and Hams are both pretty good tasting beers.
I'm a little...
Certainly, in my opinion, better than PBR, but nothing as good as Old Style back in the 70s and 80s when... it was fully croisened and, made up
with artesian spring.
Yeah, exactly.
Artesian.
Well, Jefferson, congratulations. You have a gift card from Apt Electronics, and you can go to apt.com for all their amazing gear and technology that you need in your home, for your kitchen, all that stuff. All right, Jefferson, sound good?
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have
Thank
a great you. Night. Thank you. And Mary and all of our other listeners who also guessed Hams for some reason, a lot of Hams fans, I think. That's kind of why I think it won, though.
I haven't had a Hams. I don't remember the last time I had a Hams. I do remember the last time I had a Schlitz, though, and my immediate reaction was, oh, my God, this is piss water.
Oh, dear. More after this on 720 WGN. I don't think it's that bad. It's not.
Schlitz?
Schlitz.
Schlitz?
I like Schlitz.
Schlitz.
Schlitz?
Schlitz. It's Schlitz. They still sell Schlitz.
It's just saying Schlitz.
Hey, listen, it's not your cup of tea.
But God bless them. They're in business. They're employing people. Good for them. But I wouldn't drink it either.
Okay. No. See, I don't know why you got to hate on the Schlitz. More after this on 720 WGN. Yeah, it's Friday night. You know how I know it's Friday night, Lise? When we're about to turn the microphones on and I randomly hear in my studio, I'm blessed, I don't have back hair. So that's how my Friday nights go. How's your Friday night going? Like, it's, what is that even? I mean, I guess there are men who are... Scott Santas, by the way, our anniversary photo came up recently. One of those time hop
things.
For
the waxing?
The waxing happened last summer. You and I disagreed.
I did not bow to the wisdom that is, Patty.
No.
Yes.
It wasn't my wisdom. We disagreed on the trajectory of Donald Trump's candidacy.
You were right every step of the way, and I was wrong every step of the way.
I don't revel in that.
You should.
Well, we...
I just remember seeing the picture going like, oh, thank God I wasn't there that night.
He had one thigh, one armpit, your back, and your nose hairs.
We all had our nose, though. That was kind of a beautiful...
I actually had my nose hairs.
Wax your nose?
They have a... It's kind of like a Q-tip. And they just
it's a hard wax.
There are a lot of things that you can get waxed.
It hardens around the stick, and they just go, out it comes.
Oh,
there are worse places.
No, but here's the thing.
I'm sure
there are some. Yeah,
Patty opened it up that her listeners could decide what I had waxed.
Yes,
and number one was my man bag. To put it as gently as I possibly can,
we took that.
I said no because this is the Showcase studio. I'm not going to do that on Michigan Avenue.
We offered to put up a secrecy
but
screen.
You know who would offer to do that? Just about any place that does manicures and pedicures.
Michigan Avenue was a convenient excuse. Would you?
I know.
No. So they considered it. They did my back. They did.
Oh. Okay, Patty, we are so into TMI right now.
It's Friday.
Can we, like, change the topic? Something more pleasant like Donald Trump. I mean, yes.
Something like
or the
immigrant.
Soda tax.
Okay, that's coming up. I promise that's coming up. But we will have our sweetened tea party coming up after the news. But you were asking Dave if you could ask Rob Austin, our other guest, about his experiences with riding a bike throughout the city of Chicago.
Yes. So I have my own as a cyclist, although I tend not to cycle in the city because I don't like the traffic and biking around the craziness. But I have my own share of pet peeves. And so I was wondering what your pet peeves about cars were when you're biking.
Well, to be fair, I don't really have pet peeves about cars. I have pet peeves about other cyclists.
Wow.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wait.
Let's live with the cars
stop.
For a minute.
I'm going to stop.
I have pet peeves.
What are your pet peeves about cars?
Yes. I want to hear yours.
My pet peeves about cars are when cars don't do what they're supposed to do. I often bike at night while Patty's on the air. I'll be biking up on the North Shore.
He bikes by night.
Yeah, I do. And I'll have these cars pull up behind me and they won't pass. They think they're doing something right by hovering behind me.
Right, in your blind spot.
And I'm like... Go! And I'm waving around.
Well, where do you ride, though, on the street? Do you ride
Sheridan Road?
Do you ride to the side?
Here's my thing about passing bicyclists. I often feel like I'm going to get too close to you. Like, if I don't have enough room to go around you.
But you're just scaring the crap out of us while you hunt us in our blind
spot. Exactly.
It's awful.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so my plea to drivers,
pass bikes safely.
My plea to you cyclists is to realize that you can have your helmets, you can have your little elbow guards and knee pads.
We're nervous.
The fact of the matter is I'm driving a vehicle that's 2,000 or 3,000 pounds. Stay the heck out of the way,
agreed.
Will you please?
No.
I used to cycle. In fact, I sold my car in the mid-90s and for 4 years did nothing but bike, including in the winter. And there's a certain point in January you got to stop in Chicago. and I never once had a problem with a car because I rode as far to the right, if I'm going north, for example, whatever I hug the cars.
You mean the curb?
The curb.
Well, if there are cars in the city, there are cars parked.
Right.
So I hug them, and I'm riding real close, even to the mirror. I'm looking 5-6 cars ahead to see if there's a head somewhere.
Right.
If there is anything. Yeah, I move over.
You could get doors.
People nowadays, I don't know. I'm actually to the point where I think they all should be licensed and take a test. They drive, they get that lane, they drive over to the left side of the lane, which forces me, the car, to have to veer and sometimes go head on towards the car coming towards
me. I am 100% with you, Ken.
Boy, does that tick me off.
And this is my thing about, I live downtown. I almost get killed by bicyclists at least once a week because so many of them, I'm not speaking to you guys because I'm sure you're law-abiding citizens, but they don't pay attention to red lights.
Yeah,
they,
agreed.
Exactly.
Agreed. Those people make me look so bad.
It makes me crazy because I went to junior high and high school in Madison, Wisconsin, which had bike lanes and was a great city for bikes. But here, the bicyclists bitch and moan about wanting to be able to share the road. Cool. Then abide by the damn law.
Yeah, and also get a couple £1,000 on you to protect yourself. They can never share the road.
I have the solution to this problem.
Let's hear it.
A mirror on your bike.
Yes.
What does a mirror on your bike do? It means you can see when it's cool to be away from those parked cars.
Yep.
You don't have to hug them. And it tells you when you need to get over to let somebody pass at a normal distance.
So you always know.
You don't have to look over your shoulder to see if somebody's coming. You've got it. You would never drive without a mirror.
Right.
I don't know why you would bike without a mirror.
I stop at red lights.
Here's the thing. It's not about stopping and starting. It's about going with the flow of traffic. If there's a car going through the stop sign, I'll go with it. If they got to stop, I'll stop.
Stop too. Light, though. But what about a stoplight?
If you're in heavy traffic, you got to stop at the stop sign.
But if there's no traffic or whatever that's going through, I'm using him as protection.
You'll probably disagree with me, but the way I survived in the 90s, when I was on a road where a lot of car traffic, a lot of stuff going on, weird stuff going on, potholes or a bridge with all those bridges have those grades.
There's gaps. Really scary.
I'd take it to the sidewalk, and I'd never had a problem. I would ride straight. I would do the opposite. Instead of hugging
I think if you're over 12, you shouldn't be on the sidewalk. I didn't care.
Legally, it was my life. I just didn't care. I never had a problem.
All the divvy racks are on the sidewalk. So
right.
I only came in 4 years of driving almost every day, I came close to hitting someone on the sidewalk once. It was Joe Torre. Honest to God.
Who was he managing at the time?
No, it was by the Drake Hotel. He came around the corner, and I was flying. I was about to hit, to go over Oak Street and to go up around the lake, to go down. And he came around the corner, and I slammed on the brakes, and all he said was, whoa. This was before he was manager of the Yankees, by the way. So this is like 93, 94.
It would have been okay then.
But I thought, it's funny, the only guy. But I never had a problem. I just used my head.
So if you had done the right thing, we wouldn't have had to deal with the Yankees winning more championships.
Seriously.
Thanks a lot.
You're the guy. But you
think safety first. Don't think share the road. I'm equal. You are not.
No, you're not.
You don't have what I have.
And for the record, I am 100% in agreement with you because I'm not only a biker, but I am a driver. I drive a lot. I want cars to do what they're supposed to do. I want bikes to do what they're supposed to do. I want everybody to use their brain,
which frequently they don't. It hurts you guys because people will ride behind you because they had a bad experience probably two blocks away with another biker, so they're ticked off at you guys.
Eric?
So I would say to that as well, folks, do not see motorcycles.
We hear them.
Well, yeah. So there's a good reason for that.
Yes.
You're damn right.
Well, you know, they don't. There's no like boombox on my bicycle.
I don't have a boombox. My radio is WRPM.
Yeah.
Is it legal for
WRPM? That's okay.
That was good.
Uh-huh.
Is it legal for? By the way, I'm interviewing Lonnie Anderson next week. You want to come?
Oh, WKRP.
Hey. Yeah. I'll be here.
Wow. I remember that show.
Men of a certain age.
I'm just saying.
Exactly.
Why'd you go? And yeah. I'm of that certain age.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I will come to the interview on my bicycle with the banana seat. Lean back in, and it's got mirrors on the bars.
Oh,
remember
nice.
Those?
Yeah. Yeah.
Elliot's got the chopper bicycle.
Chopper bike, yeah.
Is it legal for motorcycles to weave in between cars?
No. That drives me bananas.
And is it legal for motorcycles to ride in the bicycle lane?
No.
Never.
I've seen that many
There's
times.
There's a painting of a bicycle.
Many times.
For a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
and an arrow, by the way.
Yes.
In case you wondered which direction.
But it drives me nuts because I feel like drivers never look, you know, they drivers have all the, you know, mirrors on both sides, the rearview mirror, and they never use any of them.
Well, no, wait, what are we looking for motorcycles? Because I treat them like cars, as I think I'm supposed to.
Or by, you look for people. I mean, they...
Oh, now you're asking for a lot.
Folks are driving and they just don't look at all. They just start driving and moving in the lanes.
Well, I just think that that's just a problem in general.
I mean, yes. I've had to, yeah.
You know so, why they don't look? They're texting.
Let me tell you a story. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Oh. You have to anticipate. I think this is true for cyclists, for motorcyclists, and drivers, and pedestrians too. Pedestrians will walk into traffic or walk across the street and be like, "Well, I have the right of way." Well, if I kill you because right. I didn't see you coming out,
you can have the right of way all you want. Yeah. Of my car.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. It man. Doesn't make any sense. Bike guys will argue with you.
Well, but
guy, I'm driving something that's got thousands of pounds. What do you have?
But
come
on. Here's why drivers, as you mentioned, need to anticipate. They need to look ahead of themselves. I was driving down a street in my neighborhood. It's Carmen in Jefferson Park. And a lot of people use it to avoid the traffic on Milwaukee Avenue and on Elston. It's sort of a shortcut between the two streets and Cicero. So I was driving down and I just saw a flutter. And I thought it was a cat under a car. So I slowed down and there were a lot of cars behind me. And then I see this toddler run into the street I already slowed down, so I had just enough time to be about 5 feet from her, and all the cars and I pulled over and I blocked both lanes of traffic to stop, and all the cars are like honking at me and zero F's given at that point. But she'd gotten out of her house. She had just you could hear someone, you could hear screaming. I could hear from a living room, and I saw the dad jump off the porch, come running, because I got out of my car and I was in the street with her. But it was one of those things where if you're not paying attention to what's in front of that, if I had been looking at my phone, if I had been trying to change the station, this would be a much different day for everybody. So you have to anticipate.
Well, yeah. I just Wednesday and Thursday back and forth to Michigan, total about 10 and a half, 11 hours on the freeways. It is amazing how many people at 80 to 85 miles per hour are texting.
I know.
Oh my God, it is really scary.
And reading,
really,
just like sitting there looking at the phone.
50%. Really,
really, I was on a freeway once and I looked over the car next to me and they were FaceTiming.
If anybody is out there and you are texting, put the phone down.
Listen to us.
In front of you suddenly stops. You're dead, man. It is amazing.
You're probably dead and you're just feeling bad.
So, Rob, are you hopping on your bike and heading back?
Yeah, after this.
We're doing politics next. Everyone, please be on the lookout for Rob Austin. His company is Worksite. How can people find out more about hiring you to build their website?
Worksitellc.com any day.
He does a great job. And if you go to my website, you can see that. It's pattyvasquez.com. Thank you so much, Rob. And the app, again, that he's been using is Untappd. See if you can catch up to his 215. Over the last year,
it's a marathon.
The high watermark is 1,700. So I don't want to. I'm telling you, drink responsibly. But if you enjoy beer, you want to sample things and let people know what you think and keep track. Untappd is your app. Have a great night. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's a full house, and it's a wonderful evening to be in downtown Chicago. All the Lollapalooza goers have, losers? Lollapalooza, that sounded terrible.
You would never say that.
I didn't know.
No, you wouldn't say that, but of course you haven't been hanging out on Michigan Avenue the last 2 days in front of my office trying to dodge these people.
Lollapalooza, nope.
Stone,
did it again.
11 a.m.
Lollapalooza goers. I was condensing words. It was a little crowded earlier. Are you having a little bit of trouble getting to and from work?
Yeah, I just left my car at home the last 2 days.
Walking here to the studio, I had people dancing in front of me. That was interesting the whole way here.
That's entertaining.
To music that no one else could hear.
Well, and that's how it should be. You should dance like no one is watching and music is not playing.
Yeah.
I think this is how it goes. Dave Lundy of Aileron Communications, you actually had posted that you took Metra in and there was no one taking your ticket or checking for.
They
gave up.
Nobody even came to the car.
Oh, that's happened to me a few times too. Yeah.
So I've got an extra Metra ticket that's just burning a hole in my iPhone.
Oh. I will take that.
No, you can't. Right.
I'll take a screenshot of it and put
just
it on
take
my...
his iPhone. You're bigger than him.
I'm just saying. Oh.
Oh, hey.
Hey now.
Have you watched the videos of what she can lift over her head?
Sure.
She can lift you over her head.
Yeah. Well.
So when we're in traffic,
that's a lot of weight.
There are motorcyclists who perhaps have other options. And Eric Elk, you often are riding on a motorcycle, sir. Is that correct?
I am.
I am, and I am.
There's a listener who had a comment. Just want to join the conversation. Hey, Joe, what do you want to say about motorcycle traffic?
Hey, kiddo. I just recently visited my daughter out in Ojai, California, and we had reason to go to L.A., and I was just utterly amazed. It's been a law. I don't know how long it's been in effect, but if you have a motorcycle, you can travel through traffic, you know, going as fast as you want to, apparently, between lanes of traffic. So I'm just wondering how long it's going to take for Chicago to adopt the same principle. If you have a motorcycle, you have carte blanche to go through traffic lines and, you know, speed up as much as you want to.
So what's the question?
Well, it was out in California, and I thought it was weird. You know, the first time I was out there was, well, you know, shoot, decades ago. But the last time I was out there, apparently the law is still, if you have a motorcycle, you can go through lanes of traffic.
Yes, it's legal in California to weave in between cars.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
I don't know how safe that is, though.
No,
I mean,
no, they do it on a stalled freeway. Trust me, I lived in L.A. for years. And yeah, you can just weave. You can go in between cars.
Well, a lot of times they call it white lining.
Hello?
I was in the 80s, and that was something entirely different.
Well, no, when you're riding that white line of
again,
traffic
entirely
in between
different.
Cars,
what would be
that's
the logic?
Thing that drives me nuts when you are stopped in traffic and you have a row of bikes that just come flying through on either side of a car on the white lines.
I'm so I'm jealous.
You're jealous when they weave?
I am until...
No, when they go by me.
Sure.
Some smarty decides he's going to, like, just move into a different lane or try to just cut over. That causes a problem.
You mean motorcycles or bikes? Or cycles?
Motorcycles.
Oh, motorcycles. No, that's crazy.
I was on the Kennedy, and two motorcycles coming up behind me, one on the left and one on the right. And as they passed me, they were, like, weaving in between cars. I mean, like, they came around me, got in front of me for a second, then they were weaving in other directions. But both of them had women on the back. So there were four people on motorcycles just really dangerously flying down. No helmets.
Of course not.
Flying down the Kennedy Expressway.
Do you wear a helmet, Eric?
Illinois is not a helmet law, neither is Wisconsin.
Wasn't my question.
Do you wear a helmet? You know what I've wanted to do? When I'm in traffic and I come to a red light and I see a motorcycle rider next to me, I want to roll my window down and smack him in the back of the head and go, does that hurt?
Yeah.
That's nothing compared
to... Yeah, do that.
Is it because of the does it obstruct your
paramount? No, I mean, look, if I go on the highway, I'll wear a helmet. But typically, so I keep the motorcycle up in Lake County at my dad's place. I won't ride down here because it's so loud and I set off all the alarms.
Is that problematic?
So you're that guy.
Yeah. You are that guy. Thanks a lot, geez. Dude.
So, but fair enough. No, but so when we go out just for like a Sunday afternoon scoot, literally, and people will pull up behind my dad, give him the finger,
what?
Yelling at him.
Why?
You know, because we're maybe doing 50, 45, and he just is trying to enjoy himself. And the thing that I love about it is you are cruising along and you smell, all your senses are so heightened. My head's on a swivel. And so you smell like the different farms and you feel the temperature changes. And it's just really kind of a nice...
on your face.
Yeah, well...
Without a helmet is what you're saying.
No, I mean, you feel it on your body. Like, you can feel that sun and the temperature, the heat. And as you hit some valleys sometimes, and it's like a lot of fields, it gets cooler. It's kind of cool.
You can smell the grass.
I've never heard this.
Which is not an excuse for not wearing a helmet. He just doesn't like one. I understand that.
It's a separate conversation.
Look at that hair.
I think he's...
I mean, he doesn't want to mess up that hair.
Well, first off, he has it.
So we're all taking shots at each other tonight, which is kind of cool. I like when we do that happens.
I caught that fat shot, Ken.
I didn't mean it.
I mean, I thought I missed it, right?
No, wait. He said I was bigger than you, so that would be a fat shot.
No. He said...
Oh, that... Wait,
yeah,
Ken
no.
did.
Ken said something along the lines of, and that's a lot of weight.
Yeah, because he said he could...
Okay.
Yeah. And Patty can lift her.
Let's not dissect any of the insults.
We're dissecting.
I'm fine with that.
I hope you wear a helmet. The reason I will give you a simple example. A friend of mine, a longtime bike rider, not a motorcycle, but a bike rider, was riding on a flat surface called the lakefront, but it was on a flat surface. Nobody was around him. His chain popped off. He did a header. Face first in the ground, wasn't wearing a helmet, fractured several bones in his face. But for the grace of God, go he. It can happen in an instant. Something can happen. You never know. And when you're going, you're obviously going to be going much faster than a guy riding a bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, it is a point of contention with my dad, who, you know, he wears a yellow vest.
Sure.
He's got his helmet. Like, he wants people to see him. And he's, you know, fully protected.
Taking all the precautions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I can understand not wearing one. I can understand that feeling.
Right.
But it's just things are just, you know, anything can happen.
And if I'm going to bite it,
that's the way you want to go.
I'm going. Out.
I think it's interesting. I've never heard a cyclist talk about feeling everything, the sensory input when it comes to riding on a motorcycle. I thought that was really interesting because I've never heard that before.
Oh, it's totally true on a bicycle, too. You know, in fact, as I'm going up the lake on Sheridan Road, I'll go through several thermal climbs where I'll be really nice and warm and cozy, and then all of a sudden I'll go whack and the temperature drops 10 degrees just because I went around a curve or something.
You know how I do that, Elliot? I turn the heat on and off, and sometimes I flip the air conditioning on really
high. The windows up, the windows down.
Oscillating fan.
When I stopped driving a car in the mid-90s and I switched to a bike, one of the first things I noticed was the smell of grass, freshly cut grass. Aww. I hadn't smelled it in years.
Because you weren't at Lollapalooza tonight. I'm sure you would have smelled plenty of it.
Oh, you smell tons of grass. You live downtown Chicago. You smell it every
It's the best brood.
Oddly, a lot of skunks in downtown Chicago.
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
So strange.
I love nature.
By the way, we are not discussing it. And Scott, I'm surprised that you're not bringing it up. I think that you mentioned kind of earlier that you neither ride a bike or drive. You are a pedestrian full time.
I am.
Studs Terkel, who of course has passed on, but he never drove a car either.
I'm the Studs Terkel of the 21st century.
Do you know what he used to do? He used to sit at a bus stop and marvel at how people knew just when to put the brake on to stop at the light and just when to go and just when to make the turn, because he had never done it ever. And he found it fascinating as to how people knew that.
Studs Terkel was Forrest Gump? What?
No. Well, he was a bus guy. Do you think that was because he was more fascinated with the machinations of human beings
probably some part of that.
And frankly, not having a car, you'd be stunned how much stress that takes out of your life. You don't have to pay for upkeep of the car. You don't have to change the tires or rotate them. You don't have to pay for gas.
Do I rotate my tires?
You don't need insurance.
Money per month. People actually add up from the parking to the gas to the insurance.
Well, my wife is a pathological walker, so we will walk 10, 12 miles a day.
Is she from
New York?
I got to
look at the word pathological.
No, she's from California, which is
really
weird. Yeah,
that is weird.
I think it's pent up.
Yeah.
By the way, we are hearing from the AV Club's John Tatey. He wants to be a motorcycle guy when he grows up, and he is expecting his second child. So I'm guessing that his wife is not keen on him having a motorcycle anytime soon. Because when I met Steve, he wanted to grow up to be a motorcycle guy, too.
And is that right?
Yes.
Did you want him to
my husband? It's fine. The only time I've ever ridden on a motorcycle, I was 9 years old, and I still have the scar from the exhaust pipe on the back of my ankle.
The burn?
Yeah.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah.
My son rebuilds and actually fabricates motorcycles and choppers and stuff. I mean, he's very good at it. And my wife, who loves her children, of course, said, you know what would be better? Why don't you build a steel cage around that? You can put windows and you can put seats. And he says, you want me to build a car? She goes, yes. Yes, I do. Because they're terrifying.
Well, there are some interesting vehicles I've seen, because there's a group of folks that ride up and down Michigan Avenue. Some of them are motorcycles, and then some of them are like there's two wheels in front and one in the back, but
like
it also
spider.
That looks amazing. That's an open like convertible. It's like part car, part motorcycle.
Do you sneer at them as a motorcyclist?
Yes.
Yeah, my son does too.
By the way, there's motorcyclists. I don't think we're heard in Nova Scotia, Canada, are we?
Yeah,
are
maybe.
We?
I don't know.
There's motorcyclists who are doing a wonderful thing in Nova Scotia, Canada. There's a 10-year-old who happens to be a motorcycle enthusiast who has been the victim of some terrible bullying in school.
Mm. Oh, I read this earlier.
So this motorcycle gang is going to escort him go to elementary school with this kid. Because they say he's our brother of ours. I think that's fantastic.
That's wonderful.
That is a great thing.
And it's possible they can hear us in Nova Scotia, because we got a phone call the other night. And I don't know geography as well as they probably should as far as distance goes. We got a call from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
the patrolman. A patrolman, Wayne, called us.
Hi, Wayne.
He said he could hear us every 15 minutes or so. The reception would change and he would pick up Cuba. But for the most part, we were coming in very clearly.
Well, I told you I was driving around Birmingham, Alabama, and with my daughter-in-law around midnight, and I said, you know, 38 states and parts of Canada. She's all, that's not true. I go, turn it to 720 a.m. And there was Patty Vasquez talking to us in awesome. Birmingham, yeah. Alabama.
That's absolutely well, true. Hopefully we're in Nova Scotia. We have hundreds of motorcyclists that are going to escort this kid to school.
Thank you so much to those guys. Men and women who are
absolutely
part of
men and women motorcyclists. I think that's just a great thing.
They get a bad rap, but they're not all bad.
Well, we all have these these things that our spouses tell us you can't do.
I didn't say he couldn't
point.
Do it.
No, no, we're strongly discouraged. So, for example, I was learning to fly. And then my wife got pregnant. And I have not flown since.
Yeah.
And I've been told that I can fly again when our children are both out of college. And I've been trying to negotiate for how about when they both are in college. So we'll see how that goes.
No, Janine, I was taking flying lessons. I was actually looking to buy a plane. And I thought, won't this be great? We have all these places we can go. This will be awesome. And my wife, just when I was taking my second lesson, said, you know, we're never flying with you. What?
She's a very smart woman.
The whole point was the four of us could hop in and.
That's not really.
Elliot, you're not a hopping in a plane for the weekend kind of guy?
Well, no. I mean, I'm sorry, Scott, but I don't know if I'd get in a plane with you.
Scott in particular.
What?
Okay.
Because, I mean, come on.
What about me, Elliot?
If Harrison Ford is crashing planes, I don't know if I'm going to get in a plane with either of you guys.
But here's the thing. What they teach you when you're learning how to fly is you need to have a healthy fear of death in order to be a safe flyer. And John F. Kennedy Jr. did not have a healthy fear of death, did things that were wildly reckless.
That's true.
And
Harrison
died.
Ford is Indiana
What else did he
Jones,
do aside from the flying that it was
aside from flying in the dark without
Oh, I thought you meant like in
without
general
being certified
oh, John
to do
F. Kennedy
without being certified
everything. Yeah. Everything. I mean
he was known to do things
very yeah, he pushed the envelope.
That's
constantly.
That's at night. Well, I didn't know about the rest of his life.
His former girlfriend can't remember her name now, but I actually bought her book that she wrote about their relationship.
Oh God!
And long time
Dude,
ago.
What is wrong with you?
I was supposed to meet her for an event, so I figured I should learn about who she was.
Okay.
And but she talked about how they would go on these Caribbean islands, and they'd go to some exclusive beach, and he would always find a place that you kind of weren't supposed to go, and kind of try to surf and boogie board somewhere. And there was a couple of times where she said, I thought we were literally going to die. And he was kind of scared, too, but we got back. And then he would just go to the next one.
What's the worst that can happen?
I think it was a confidence thing when it came to flying that night. But you guys have made a great job of transitioning into talking about politics. So this worked out very well. I appreciate that very much.
That's what we're here for, Patty.
When we come back, let's talk about Scott Stantis's latest piece in the Chicago Tribune.
Very
he
powerful.
The political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune that Dave Lundy reposted. You've reposted the Cubs winning the World Series, probably, that Scott drew.
I've posted a couple things of Scott's.
I mean, the Cubs
before.
That he's have a half a game lead in, over the Brewers.
Some great stuff. He's also, you know, Scott and I are not exactly ideologically consistent.
We disagree.
But today's was, and I said this online, it was brilliant.
Let's talk about that when we come back.
Brilliant.
Let's do. Let's see.
Yes, please come back.
Let's
fast.
See if Scott is brilliant. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. It's Friday night. It's a little bit. We do a little bit of a freak out Friday, but tonight it's been fun Friday with all of my guests. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer and regular sidecar on Friday nights. So happy to have you back tonight, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We also have with us Ken Jakubowski of Sirius Enterprises, Eric Elk of Fulcrum. We have Dave Lundy of Aileron. And yes, you can continue to thank Christopher Roebling for no one getting their exact titles anymore. And the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and editorial board member, Scott Stantis, who did a piece today that has been shared by many people. And
yes.
Tell us a little bit, Dave, what struck you about the cartoon that Scott did today?
So what struck me about the cartoon is that it's for those who haven't seen it, it's the Statue of Liberty, and it shows Donald Trump chopping off the head of the Statue of Liberty, basically
from the waist.
Yeah, like yeah, basically cutting it in half.
50%.
Yeah.
And that was done because the proposed immigration reforms, quote unquote, that they are putting out there would cut the number of green cards in half. And there was this argument in the press room between fascist Stephen Miller, one of the president's advisors. By the way, that is his title.
He's a joke. And
by the way, a poorly worded question from CNN.
Yeah.
It was a poor. Sure. I'm sorry. It just was.
What was the question exactly?
The question was, so are you saying, basically, are you only going to let immigrants from England and Australia because it's English?
Yes, that was a dumb question.
It's a horrible question.
Yes. Agreed. But the colloquy they got into.
Ooh, hold on. I looked that up. Hold on. Carry
was,
on.
What was about the poem, and Stephen Miller asserted that, well, the poem really doesn't have anything to do with the Statue of Liberty. That was added later. The poem, of course, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And what many people, myself included, feel is that Donald Trump is betraying the spirit of that poem.
Is he is he betraying the spirit? What do you think weighs heavier? Is it betraying the spirit of that, or is it appealing to the 30% that truly believe this is the
yes
guy?
Can we say yes to both?
Yeah, yes to both. I mean, but my ancestors never could have passed the tests that Donald Trump is putting out.
My mother. Go ahead.
My three grandparents could not have passed that test.
Nor could his own grandmother.
Right, exactly.
My four grandparents could never have passed that
Elliot?
Test.
How about your family? Speaking English. Could your grandparents come to the United States?
Speaking English with high-tech skills and all the rest.
Yeah.
It's funny because, it was when my parents did come here, they went to school to learn English. It was one of the things that you did then.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was one of the things you did for folks who immigrated. Mind you, we're also Puerto Rican, so we're technically citizens. But
okay, then fine. You don't count.
Well, I wouldn't get all in an uproar. This whole thing, while it's upsetting, I didn't spend much time thinking about it because it's not going to become law. It's just an event at a press at a press availability. I've learned.
I don't know, man.
This will not.
This is executive
law.
Branch stuff, right?
No, it has to go through it. That was in support of legislation that was proposed, I think, in the Senate. It has to go through Senate, through the House. It's not.
Yeah, but there are executive actions that the president can do.
Yeah, but that's not what they were talking about. They were in support of a bill that actually has been proposed by two senators.
We have to run to the news, and I love the way John Williams brought this up early in the week, and I believe it was yesterday, right after the press conference. He had this very same conversation, but his question was, who should and should not be allowed into the United States? Because these are some very specific things that Donald Trump is saying, speaking English, specific skills.
Do you want an answer?
When we come back from the news.
All right.
Yeah, because actually I wanted to also talk about the significance of excluding the concept of uniting families and the importance of uniting families with assimilation.
Okay.
After the news.
After the news. Eric?
No, I want to talk about that as well. I've got something.
Anybody else want to do a last word before Roger jumps into the news? Okay, excellent.
Eric? Two words about your motorcycle, not helmet wearing. Gary Busey, buddy. I don't want you to be like Gary Busey.
Yeah, but
Gary Busey was like that before.
He was crazy as shit.
What? He was what?
He was.
I sure hope somebody caught that.
Nope, they did not. So also, there's cotton candy in the studio. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I think we've already gone around the panel that we have tonight, including Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Go to geektome.net for all the great things that he writes there. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram. And I believe that he would not be here were it not for the ability of his parents to come to the United States. They would not have passed the litmus test that President Trump is saying now all must follow, I guess.
President Trump himself would not pass.
He would not
that.
Be here. He would not be here because his own grandmother would not have been allowed.
Well, he has to be
his
proficient
own mother,
in English.
Perfect. Yeah.
Proficient in English. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I got you. I see what you did there.
You know, whenever a transcript of Trump comes out, it kind of.
Yeah, you enjoyed that this week, didn't you?
I enjoyed it. It was also horrifying.
Well, let's come to that.
But let's talk about the immigrants
if we have time.
First.
Yes. So the question to the panel, to our listeners, to everyone in general, is including Kenjay Gubowski, whose family you would also not be here if
my paternal grandparents came from Lebanon, Christian Lebanon, and my grandfather was a upholsterer, worked for Ford Motor Company.
Oh.
And was their chief upholsterer. And actually, he hand upholstered Harry Truman's inaugural car.
Oh, how cool.
Which was a big deal back then.
No, that's a big deal now.
And look, the fact is they came here, they couldn't speak English, they learned English. And because they arrived in this country in the late 20s, that family has produced 9 doctors, 5 lawyers, and a whole bunch of other folks. Those are immigrants.
Well, now we're bragging a little bit.
No, well, I mean, that just goes to show that's what America is all about.
Yes,
you come here, you work hard.
Yeah, well,
and that's... But this is the part I wanted to talk about, because you know he did this with the refugee thing, the refugee ban as well. When he said,
"It's not a ban."
Yes, I'm sorry, it's not a ban. It's just a ban.
Your word.
You say it's a ban. Your word.
Well, and then he comes back later and says it's a ban.
Right, when he did this with saying grandparents are not a relationship. And so that doesn't count.
Well, the problem was the Supreme Court doubled down on that and made it very confusing for those who had to enforce the travel ban.
They did.
Yeah.
But the point I was going to make is that this notion that you would no longer be allowed to bring in, you know, your relatives. If you had a green card and you were in this country and you could no longer bring in your relatives from abroad, you wouldn't have the right that you currently have. The reason the assimilation in this country has worked as well as it has, the reason we are the great American melting pot, is because we bring families. Families come
and
here,
communities.
Families assimilate
communities.
Into communities.
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what offends me so about what Trump has done on this is that it is an affront to everything this country has stood for. And I'm not naive. I'm Jewish. My people were excluded during World War II, and a lot of them died because they were turned away. So I'm not saying that the United States has had a perfect record. But there are some principles that we stand for, and I would have thought we would have learned by now. And Trump is basically putting a giant middle finger up towards our principles,
and
it makes me mad.
And let me jump in as a conservative and say that, you know, okay.
I have to, by the way, can we just say that Eric is no longer the token conservative that people keep saying that he is? No one's a token in the studio. And I want to go around the horn and just say that
I'm a token Jew.
Ken is often contrarian. Like, we think he's going to be like a heart.
You're not alone on that.
Oh, thank you, Roger.
There's 2 of us.
Thank God you're
token
here.
Token Jews. This is never about like, oh, well, I guess I'd have a Republican on. This is about having a well-rounded conversation with everybody. And I do my best to make sure that we have guests that represent everybody. And that's why the phone lines are always open. People complain that I don't have enough supporters, but Scott was next.
I was just going to say, from a conservative standpoint, immigration builds and grows the economy. From a strictly greed point of view, there's no other way it's the best way for America to build and grow its economy. It's that simple. From a personal standpoint, if I may, 3 of my grandparents came to this country, could not speak English. And I know I'm speaking to people here in Chicagoland and the rest of the Midwest when I say they're national. 2 French, which is unusual. But a Lithuanian.
They're adorable. They have really cool accents.
Yes,
so we don't
do.
Mind
we
them
love
so much.
These
they all look like Maurice Chevalier.
Savoir faire everywhere.
But my grandfather was Lithuanian, where my name comes from. Let's hear you do that.
Lithuanian? Anyone?
I can do Romanian, but I can't do Lithuanian.
No, Lithuanian is almost impossible.
It's close, but it's more a little
more. Yeah, Lubaluka to see you.
But he came to this country, worked their asses off. My grandmothers actually took the dictionary and every day read 10 words a day. That's how they learned English.
It makes sense.
And they became immersed in this country, and nobody was more patriotic. No one loved this country more than those people, and instilled in me that same faith. And to anyone who says differently, anyone who says those people are a danger or are bad to the country, can go to hell.
Well, first of all, I think it's not a conservative perspective or a liberal perspective. I think it's an American perspective. And I think that, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I'm a conservative, but I'm not a cultist. And so that's why I'm really not following lockstep with what this maniac's doing.
But like as
can we live there for a moment? Because I think both parties are guilty.
Maniac?
No, cult. I'm not a cultist.
I love that. I'm going to use that.
I'm not a cultist. Because we say things like extremist, and that's been used too much. Maybe cultist is the way to describe people who adhere to whatever their party says.
Well on the immigration issue,
yes,
there has always been 28% of this country who fear people who don't look like them.
It goes
who don't
beyond
smell
fear.
Like them,
it goes beyond fear.
Speak,
there are people who
like
hate.
Them.
There are people who
they,
hate.
They, absolutely.
Well, but can I jump in real quick?
And that's this, who Trump is appealing
this
to.
Is
yeah. those,
new,
that,
this
those
is
folks.
New to the United States. We hated Germans when they immigrated here in the
Correct.
In the
we
early
hated
part
Italians.
Of the 19th century.
We hated
the Jews.
We hated the Irish.
I mean,
absolutely,
and they're adorable.
The
they have so many freckles.
With good reason, let's
have,
be fair.
They have freckles. They have red hair. We named the paddy wagons after them. I mean, like, come yeah, on.
I mean, virtually every major ethnic group that has assimilated into the U.S., whether it be Irish, Polish, has gone through a period
Latino?
Of... I mean, Latino nothing, is, are going through it now, although it's more
it's,
heightened.
It seems like it's been a long time since the Latinos have been going
through it. It does.
Latinos fall into a weird category. Elliot, would you say that this has been throughout our lives? It has been that it is, it's, it is, it felt like it's been white, black, and brown.
Yeah, and when they started talking about bad hombres, we knew it went back to
oh,
brown, right?
There, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I want it real quick because I know you guys have been making some great points, but I think something that needs to be pointed out here, too, that's being conflated a lot, and that I think a lot of folks tend to – they're blurring the line here. When we talk about immigration, you're going to have people who are going to be throwing, again, illegal immigration and actual immigration.
Right. We're talking about
right?
actual immigration.
But that's – but when
great
people are
legal.
Thinking about – there are people who are listening to us right now who are texting right now.
Read the texts.
He goes, well, that's your opinion, and I agree with the president, okay? Which just shows they're not really listening – to what we're discussing
well, because we're discussing legal reality.
We're discussing legal immigration.
Exactly.
I don't think there's anyone here who is in favor of illegal immigration.
No,
in fact, I'm in favor of those folks going
well,
out of the country.
But here's the thing about illegal immigration, too. Here's the thing. And I think another thing people tend to forget. Illegal immigration at this point is at net zero. It's not like we have
Correct.
Thousands of illegal immigrants flooding yeah. into the border.
It has
the
been since
thing.
Obama.
Since Obama.
That's right.
You know?
He deported more illegal immigrants than any other previous
deporter.
President.
He was the right. deporter in chief. Yeah.
Can I throw out a libertarian yeah. idea here and just say, can we open the borders?
No.
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 You can't for one reason, terrorism. And that's actually a legitimate.
Yeah. Okay, that is
that's legitimate.
Okay.
We've got a bunch of nuts out there.
I like when something is asked and answered so succinctly. That was wonderful.
No.
Okay,
one
no.
word.
Yeah, the liberals
okay.
on the panel are saying Hold no.
But we yes. don't but we don't monitor the northern border.
Yes, we do.
Not nearly as much.
But
as
Donald
do
Trump
border.
Said to the
We're
Mexican
not
president,
build a wall.
The Canadians it's... are great. We have no problem with Canada. It's you people that we have a problem with.
Yeah, and yet the only place we know in this country where someone used the border to come in to try to blow up an airport was up,
Canada,
up,
here,
up
Canada.
Vancouver,
Canada.
Area, Vancouver into Seattle.
Elliot, you have a texter who is joining the conversation. What's the area code?
This is the 773.
Okay, so do you
City
have a question?
Chicago.
Do you have a question for the texter? Because
well,
do
I,
they understand?
Again, they're saying. I said again that they are not listening, and they responded that is not true at all. They want to listen and discuss it. They just don't agree. So,
so
hey,
call in.
Call in.
We got your number. Do you want us to call you? Because we.
No,
can,
no, no,
oh,
no,
I'm
no,
not.
No, no, no.
Well, that sounds like a threat.
But I mean, yeah. you know, think about this too. I think you know that there is a conservative perspective on this as well. You know, what Trump is doing in terms of, it's almost like a Pat Buchanan in terms of being an isolationist.
Right.
And, you know, I, as a conservative, I'm a free market guy, free trade, free enterprise. I'm all for having those borders open and having that constructive engagement, you know, whether it was with
Are you
China.
Sure? Because they're throwing, like, bags of drugs over the wall. We got to make
and
sure that
Trump,
That's why
Trump,
you got to be able to see through the
but,
wall.
But see, I don't think...
If we catch the bags, is see, it then ours? Do we do...
Yeah.
But see, we keepers. Use Donald Trump, and we say Donald Trump is... I don't think Donald Trump knows anything about any of this stuff. Well, I think this is Steve Bannon and folks
actually,
telling Trump what to say.
Actually, Ken, you know what was really interesting about those transcripts earlier in the week.
Wait, let's not move on from immigration just for a moment because I just want to. The question was, and since the 773 is texting,
the
question is then who should be allowed to come to the United States legally? Because he is cutting legal immigration in half, access to green cards.
And what people need to understand is when you try to get into this country legally, when you want to immigrate into the United States, the rigor and the background checks that. Mm-hmm. That is done is extraordinary.
The other thing
very
is,
very few of us would pass those background checks.
I would also argue that a lot of U.S. citizens probably could not pass the tests.
That's right.
Who don't
oh,
know.
Oh, hell no.
Have you ever taken it?
Yes.
I passed it. Did
yes.
you? Yeah.
Okay, it's not a contest in this room, by the way.
No, I'm just asking because
the point is, it's these people have this impression that people show up at U.S. embassies and say, hey, I want to become a U.S. citizen. Okay, come on in. No,
it's a very specific question. Who should be allowed into the United States and who should be kept out? Because the president has given what criteria as far as cutting the green card?
English, special skills, needed skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means we're not going to have many folks working in...
I mean, there's a brain drain going on here. If you look at the state of Illinois, the population is decreasing. So anybody who makes the argument that our state or our city is being impacted in a negative way is smoking.
Yeah, but that's also because your governor's been killing
without universities. Immigrants to do a lot of jobs that most of us won't do and are not willing to do, will that have an effect on wages as well for people?
Yes. Here's what I think this may be, and this may be the cynical end game for this. You cut 50% of professors, mathematicians, whatever. Those jobs become unfilled. They have to be filled. That puts pressure on wages, which means they go up for those jobs, and it also means Americans can fill those positions. That's a net gain for the administration. So I
that field though. But what I'm talking about other jobs where people are going to be taking, you know, fine, go.
Yeah, because the specialized visas, H-1B visas, there's only a certain number of those allowed every year, and when they open up, they like are gone almost instantly.
Well, let me ask, and the other thing is that let's say, okay, so immigration across and illegal immigration across the border apparently has gone down exponentially. It's been pretty dramatic. So, you know, the argument has always been Americans won't do these jobs. Well, the Americans won't do those jobs for those wages.
And there's a gap between the people who are skilled enough to have filled a lot of jobs that are going empty because there is not a supply.
But so, exactly. So will that put pressure on income, on wages, rather, and will that raise wages? My argument, and we talked about this on election night or shortly thereafter, that my cynical view of this guy, I know it's probably wrong, but is that he's going to do the stopgap stuff, short-term stuff, and within 2 years of his ascension to the presidency, you're going to see wages actually go up in a serious manner. You're going to see unemployment go down in a serious manner.
And that was my fault. I brought in the economy and things, so we have to do that next. So it's the transcript that you want to talk about and also the jobs report that came out this week.
Right.
Oh, Illinois. Oh, poor Illinois.
And I don't want to, and I totally disagree with everything that Scott just said.
That's what I figured. That's why I had to take a break. I got to take a break and let that all simmer. 312-981-7200 for our 773 listener who apparently won't call us. We're going to move on because you didn't answer the question, who should be allowed in the United States? And so there you go. Your point is not acceptable. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Another lively Friday night. Generally, we call this Freak Out Friday, but I don't really think it is a freak out. It's just kind of a, you know, we save everything up for Friday night.
Scott, I'm still freaking out about the soda tax.
Okay, we will freak out about that as well. There's so many things to unpack here. Scott was mentioning on the show last night, actually off the air, that we didn't even mention Donald Trump last night. We haven't
did not.
In weeks.
I love that about your show.
On Thursday nights.
Every week we go, well, we're saving it for next week.
For Friday. We save it for Friday. And some things
really
we don't get to. Yeah.
Right up until now.
And then it happens. But there's a lot that's been happening. And I know that you both wanted to address. Do you want to go back to your question that you asked off the air, Elliot, about wages going up? Because I mentioned that will cutting immigration in half, green cards, access to coming into the United States to only people who speak English or have special and needed skills in the United States, how will that affect wages? Because then we already have specialized skill jobs that are going unfilled because people won't move, they won't change their careers, they're locked into believing I'm generations of coal mining, this is what my family has done, this is what I'm always going to do, I'm waiting for that job to come back, I work in retail, even though those jobs are going away because Amazon dominates the world, this is what I do. And so our people are not going back and learning how to weld. Or there were like 800 jobs in the community in the northern suburbs of Chicago that were going unfilled because people would not take up.
Right. But what's going to happen with those jobs is the wages are going to go up because there's competition for the jobs now. And there's
But if they're
demand.
Going unfilled, they're not going filled.
Well, but the demand for those jobs is going up, which means the wages will naturally
eventually
go
rise.
Up.
Right.
Yeah, that's just how economics work.
But are people willing, and this is so hard, we've talked about this before on the show, you know, we think about what we decide to do when we're 18 years old or 22 years old, and maybe we find out what we're going to do at 30, and that's what we've invested our psychological, you know, cachet in. We decide, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And
I'm
when
still
you're
trying to figure it out.
40 or 50, but that's the thing is that we live now to be 80 years old. So when you're 40, you can decide, you know what, I have to do something else, and I'm capable of it. And you have to be able to...
I'm laughing because, dude, I'm 50. In the newspaper business at 58, so yeah.
Yeah, we, you know, can you...
You're in the content creation business.
Sure, let's go with that.
Because I think a lot of us go, well, now what? Well, this has a, you know, there could be a cliff for me, as many people have been following in the news, when it comes to the media industry and the attack on it and the different perspectives that owners might want to have. So am I flexible enough to go, okay, what's next? What can I, what do I have?
But that's not a new phenomenon. I mean, this has been going on for a long time.
It's not a new phenomenon, but it feels cemented is what it feels like.
Yeah, but I mean, as technology, you know, took hold of different industries, you know, there was a need for people to retrain themselves and for people to go through retraining and adjustment of their careers, you know, 2-3 times minimum in a life to really say, you know what, those skills, they were awesome for that economy in 1956, but in 1987, those skills are no longer applicable.
Well, that's the thing, is that a lot of jobs that could be done decades ago are now being automated. We have a listener that has a question for us, and I think I'm going to have Scott Stantis and Eric Elk answer these two questions, these questions right here. Steve, what did you want to say to the panel?
Hi, I just have a general question for you guys. I preface this question by saying I'm not a big fan of this current administration. So that being said, I just wonder what value is it with sort of the harsh rhetoric that you guys have been...
Can you be specific? Which word?
Now with
the, Steve, which words?
Yeah, the name call. What is the name calling?
Which word?
What does that add to the to
Steve?
Discussion?
Steve,
well,
which
fascist,
word?
Maniac, idiot.
No, none of us, Steve, I would ask you, Steve, hold on 1 second for everybody. Steve, I would ask you to rewind this entire last hour and please find the word, any of those words, fascist.
Eric,
you said fascist?
I said
the conservative said maniac.
I called him a fascist.
Oh, no, that was me.
Oh,
and I well, he is
I know
a fascist.
Steve because he's a fascist.
Okay, all right.
It's called telling the truth.
He's bad.
All right, let me go through those. Okay, raise your hand if you said idiot. Who said idiot? Who's an idiot?
I may have said idiot.
Okay. All right. So let me go. Steve.
I think I said moron.
Steve, I will have them address.
But fascist is a specific term that was meant in a specific way
to?
About a guy who has specific ideological views that are consistent with fascism.
And
so
that was, and
I
that
didn't
was
a, use that name call. I used that to describe.
To describe. So, Steve, that was for Steve Miller, who was giving the press conference about cutting immigration in half.
And explaining why the Statue of Liberty, words on the Statue of Liberty, didn't actually apply to the Statue of Liberty.
Now, Steve, did you watch that press conference?
And he might be, at best, 35.
No, he seems like 31.
Hold on. We are addressing Steve's concerns about the name calling and the harsh rhetoric. Steve, did you watch the press conference with Steve Miller?
I saw a little bit of it, sure.
Well, Dave Lundy is addressing the conversation in its entirety and why it really rang of fascism.
Well,
so that, hold on, Steve.
And the policy.
Hold on, Steve. We're addressing each word.
Well,
that
no,
you
no, I think Steve, look, Steve is raising a very valid point here, which is that the name calling is a problem. And generally speaking, I agree with you. In fact, I pride myself on trying to be as civil as humanly possible.
But that's why
I
asked you to explain, and you were specific.
Dialogue.
You said that it describes the tone of what was used in that press conference. Okay, so Eric, you said maniac.
Eric, the conservative, called somebody a maniac.
Who did you call a maniac?
I believe it was Trump.
I'm asking everyone to answer.
I did.
Yes.
I called the president. I did say he's a maniac because I do believe his actions
are maniacal.
He's completely inconsistent. I don't know if anybody follows his tweets.
Oh, yeah.
I just think he's nuts.
I don't know if it's
and I mean nuts
like, you know,
in a clinical sense.
Hold on 1 second. So we have his inconsistencies and his erratic behavior.
Correct.
Leads you to believe he is a maniac.
Yes.
Okay, that's addressed. You said idiot?
I think he's nuts.
He's nuts.
I mean, seriously, I think there's something wrong with him.
So, by the way, Steve, so this addresses your specific question, why the harsh name-calling of the administration. Before we go to the news, Steve, does that address what you were concerned about?
Well, I guess. I mean, I guess I just don't see the point. I just don't get that does anything for us. And again, I said I'm not a big fan of this guy.
Well,
but
Steve,
I just think it It goes back to my mother used to telling me that if the best you could do is come up with a swear word or calling somebody a bad name, it made you look like an idiot. That's
all. Steve, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Westmont.
So in Westmont, in the suburban area of Chicago, so when you're upset with something, like, so let's say somebody cuts you off in traffic, you never have anything harsh in your mind that makes you frustrated or ever?
Well, everybody, of course, everybody does.
So if you would do that in traffic, no, Steve, it's not different. Steve, it's not different because it is, you know, it's not different because if someone cuts me off in traffic, I feel like my safety is in jeopardy. And with the president of the United States, I think many people feel as though their safety is in jeopardy.
So that makes it okay to call people idiots and fascists.
So
and that makes
well,
it okay,
so when you when
right?
someone call, cuts you off in traffic, it's okay to use a swear word or call them an idiot because it's immediate. And I'm just saying, I'm not directly saying anything about this administration, but I mean, if your instinct is to be frustrated with somebody who jeopardizes your safety, why would it not be applicable to the leader of the United States who jeopardizes not only the safety of this country but people all over the world?
Well, that's making an excuse.
Well,
no, it's well. Then why? Then you have no excuse for calling anyone an idiot in traffic ever. And shame on you. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Every Friday night, we have conversations about all the news that unfolds over the week. And I know that there are people who feel that the position of the presidency should be regarded and esteemed and respected. And we had a listener before the news who called and asked, why all the name-calling? Why all the harsh language about the administration? And this is not unique. If you go to the Abraham Lincoln Museum in Springfield, Illinois, there's a really beautiful... wonderful exhibits throughout the entire museum, but there is a hallway that you can walk through and you can listen to the horrible things that were said about Abraham Lincoln, how he loved black people and not in that nice of a language, by the way, and what he wanted for white people and how he hated white people. And there is language that you would be shocked that was used for a president, for a man that so many of us consider to be a hero, to be the greatest president in United States history, to be one of the greatest human beings that ever lived. There are two men that are written about more than anybody else, and that is Jesus and Abraham Lincoln. And so the language, the way people talked about Abraham Lincoln was often very vile. And this is what it means to be an American. It means that you can voice yourself. And on this station, we have the ability to have a conversation. And Steve, and that's why I leave the phone lines open. And I was trying to get to a place with you because you had talked about your mom saying that if you can't say something else, if you can't think of something better to say than using harsh language, then you shouldn't say something. And yet when we talked about whether or not when someone in traffic cuts you off, do you use harsh language? And you do. We all do, because that means that that's our instinct. We're angry, and that's what we go to. And there are a lot of people who are angry on so many levels. And yet somehow last year it was, you know what, those people are angry and that's why they voted for President Trump and that's why we're here, because they're frustrated and they're fed up. And yet somehow using language that maybe, you know, and I went through and I asked each guest who used the words that you did not approve of, and they backed it up. And yet that was still not good enough. We need to listen to each other. I listened to you. I heard your explanation. And yet you would not listen to us. And that was why I said, shame on you. And I mean that for anybody who does not think that we have the right to say whatever we are feeling. You have the right to say whatever you're feeling. But then when you accuse us of something that is not appropriate, I have to say right back at you, shame on you. We have everyone in the studio right now. We have Elliot Serrano, who is our chief geek officer. We have Ken J. Gubowski with Sirius Enterprises. Eric Elk of Fulcrum. David Lundy.
No, Dave, please. Only my mother calls. Only my mother and Roebling.
And Chris Roebling call you David.
Yeah.
Dave Lundy.
It's true.
Of Aileron Communications, and Scott Santis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and member of the editorial board. And shame on you.
For calling,
just because
Dave,
it's just fun. It's just fun to
actually,
say.
Actually, I could say shame. Can I say shame on Scott for a whole bunch of those rounder editorials? No, okay, we'll talk about that later.
Hey, I have a question for everybody here. Has anybody bought soda since the tax? Yes.
Has anybody bought soda on purpose in the last 6 months?
Yes, but at a restaurant.
No, I bought it on purpose this week because I wanted to, because we were, my editor wanted me to bring in the receipt.
I bought eight packs in Michigan.
And?
Saved $10.88. And I bought four cases of Bai because I don't know if that's text or not. Somebody please tell me if it is.
Bai?
Bai, right here. B-A-I.
Okay, this is a commercial, apparently.
It's an antioxidant.
Is that
tax?
And
we here on the Patty Vasco shows, we hate the oxidants.
Yeah,
that was the last.
You know
hour.
Why? Because you're anti.
I'm antioxidant.
I'm going to do everything I possibly can to not purchase any soda or anything with sweetener in it in this county.
Let me ask you guys. You guys work in politics, and you is this going to hurt her? I mean, this got to hurt her. And her, she's already announced she's running for re-election.
You know what hurts her? What hurts her is the fact that she is
Tony Preckwinkle.
She is perpetuating a lie. She says that this is about health.
Am I getting in trouble for calling?
Maybe 20%. Will I get in trouble?
Will I get in trouble with Steve for calling Preckwinkle a liar? Liar, liar, pants on fire, yeah. President Preckwinkle. Okay, go
she
ahead.
Should
no,
just
her pantsuit is on
this,
fire.
This is a tax because it's something they can tax because they desperately need revenue. So this is not about health. If it was health, the folks who go to the bars and who order a drink there of Coca-Cola don't have to pay the tax. But if it was health, they would have to.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, no, they do. No. Those folks are exempt.
No, they're not.
They're
the Restaurant Association and
is going
retail
nuts,
merchants
by the way.
Are going bananas on this.
But if you go to a bar,
I was at a restaurant earlier today and
but
according
to the law, anything poured is exempt.
No.
No.
No. So Zany's Comedy Club, which is my home club. I've worked with them for over 20 years. I went in there and they were trying to figure out how they were going to, they were told because when they buy it in bulk, that adds into their pour, to the carbonation, into the guns, they have to pay the extra tax. It's like $75 for whatever the box is, extra untaxed.
I actually read the law and it specifically says that that's not the case. This could be more confusion because I know it's been very confusing for everyone.
Oh my God, the confusion has been nuts.
So here's something that, Bernie Tafoya tweeted this out and texted about this. He had gone into a store to buy Muscle Milk, which is a protein drink, which when you read the nutritional label, you cannot find what the sweetening additive is. There's no sugar, there's no sucrose or anything else that you might see that is a sweetener. So here was the price of the 14-ounce bottle of Muscle Milk was $3.79. The cashier scanned it, and when it rang up, the tax was $1.68.
Of course.
On a $3.
It's outrageous.
No, but that's not the tax on $3.79. It should have been 14 cents. So it's a penny an ounce.
Everything's messed up.
It is the program of the whatever the computer system is for the grocery store or whatever the convenience store.
Yeah, but they've
been
trying to play catch up on this.
Right.
Because they have been in talks with the
ketchup
county.
Ketchup is not taxed, by the way.
Yes. but here's the thing. The cashier would not manually override that.
She probably doesn't have the authority to.
I mean, you got to give it a little bit of time for people to figure out what the deal is.
Does anyone?
I just want to answer Scott's question, though, because Scott asked, is she going to pay a political price? And the answer is yes, but. I'm sure there are polls out there that are overwhelmingly negative. And this is the kind of tax that really makes people angry.
Yes.
This was
really
so
angry.
This is
makes
so
me
ignorant.
Really angry.
It was,
as I'm buying my diet drinks and paying for these sugary
this
beverage
This is government
tax.
Run amok.
And I don't... But here's the thing. As bad as that is, this lawsuit that they filed yesterday...
I have to say this,
Tony Preckwinkle and the county filed a lawsuit against the Illinois Retail Merchants Association seeking $17 million in damages because of the delay in implementation of the tax. And the argument was that they did not have a right to do what they did. By the way, it's called the First Freaking Amendment, the right to petition your government for the redress of grievances.
Ooh,
that lawsuit,
look at you unfolding your law degree.
That lawsuit not only should be thrown out of court.
Is that in your wallet? Do you have your law degree? Where do you carry that?
But the lawyer and the county should be sanctioned for a frivolous lawsuit. It is a direct violation of the First Amendment.
Absolutely.
And by the way, this is the only thing I've agreed with the Illinois Retail Merchants Association on in about 20 years.
Wow, well done there.
If you go back and look at all the clips from 2001 till now, not that I've done that, but their budget has gone
but
from
if you did.
Client.
$2.9 billion to $4.7 billion last year. With exception to 1 year, it's gone up every year, their budget. and they have figured out a way to tax parking, cigarettes, gaming, more parking.
How about cutting the budget?
That's never happened.
Hang on. Okay.
They froze it 1 year.
Now I got to shift gears. I got to defend the president. Tony Preckwinkle did more budget cutting, more trimming than any previous president of the county board.
Well, she ran on
that's a low bar.
I'm just telling you.
Congratulations that she did that.
She put back place the tax that she ran on cutting that Stroger had put in place.
Exactly.
She put it back in place.
Right, but you talked to Tom Dart, the county, because remember, this is not just her budget. It's the county sheriff. It's the public defender. It's all the various county agencies. It's the jail. And you talked to
she wanted the job.
I understand that, but you talk to the county sheriff, and he'll tell you, look, I cannot protect the health and safety of the citizens of Cook County. I cannot run the jail with these kinds of cuts because you're cutting into the meat, not just the fat.
Can I ask a question? And I know that Illinois has more municipalities than any other state in the country.
7,000.
And are there other...
Mosquito abatement. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, that's true. Because I don't think people understand that this is separate. Like, I know that when Representative Martwig's been here, Representative Anderson, Batnick, people complain about the soda tax, not completely grasping that they had nothing to do with it. This is Cook County. What is Cook County responsible for? What is the money that they are raising when we have sales taxes, when we have these, you know, the soda tax? What is it? I know that it's a Sheriff Dart's office.
It's Sheriff Dart's office. It's health care. There's tremendous health care costs.
Cook County Hospital.
Tremendous health care costs. There are certain benefits that you get from being in the county for poor people. The county has to maintain roads in unincorporated Cook County. The county is responsible for a lot of things.
Their road project is substantially less than Lake County's. And the population size is more than double.
Well, and the thing is about Lake County, as we talked about on the show, is that partly why the property taxes are exponentially higher there then?
Okay. It's the schools.
It's the schools and it's the roads. And is it only the schools? The property taxes go directly just to
it's
the schools?
It's about 85% for the schools.
But right. Here's the thing. I mean, I think this is, I mean, soda tax seems like such a small thing. I mean, especially nationally, I'm talking to friends around the country. And they're going,
what's
really,
next?
This is the one you're going to get upset about. And but it's on top of... You know, the ROM feet, the scoop and toss stuff.
The scoop and toss stuff?
Yeah, what? Scoop and toss. The fact that we have that for instance, CPS is paying 8.5% on their bonds right now. The fact that the city bonds are one tick away from junk. The fact that the bonds of the state are one tick away from junk. The fact that they're taxing us. That job growth, you mentioned that. Job growth outside of Chicago. Chicago's around the national average. You know what is around the state? It's 0.5%. There's no new jobs in the state. So this is
24% of about 24% of what is 24% is agriculture in the state of Illinois. 45% of the Illinois generates 45% of the tax income for the rest of the state. I don't know what other manufacturing is tough in the state
Chicago
of Illinois.
Chicago is clearly the
lynch. Okay, but we can talk about Foxconn. And by the way, did you see the number of how much it's going to cost every resident of the state of Wisconsin to bring in Foxconn? $519 a person to bring in Foxconn for jobs that may or may not come to Wisconsin.
It's $1 million a job.
I moved here from Alabama, and they moved a lot of, they have a Honda plant, they have a Mercedes plant, Hyundai, all those things. And it's roughly the same kind of balance there.
But Foxconn has actually, they actually have a history of not necessarily following through on
creating.
Didn't
Foxconn come from China?
Yes.
Yeah, Foxconn is where people were committing suicide. They were throwing themselves off the top of the factory because they were under such terrible working conditions.
But God forbid we should call anybody an idiot. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are having a fantastic Friday evening. Michigan Avenue is quieted down just a little bit from all of our Lollapalooza goers.
What happened?
I know. I think that those two girls are the last ones from the Grant Park. That's it.
The Lolla people went to bed.
Lolla people.
whatever it was kicked in.
The lollygoers, whatever it is. Or they're napping somewhere, just, you know, peacefully.
Yes.
On a park bench or
happy
a planter.
Lolo dreams.
Yes, enjoy yourselves. We are, we've been having a very, I think that I think animated discussion. I know a lot of our texters are joining the conversation as well. And I appreciate your comments. We have gone through them all, and thank you very much. We have, should we do, what's that from now or after the 1:30? We're going to do it after the 1:30 news. What do you want to address here? We talked about soda tax. We talked about whether or not Scott is brilliant. We
did transcript.
The transcript. Oh, you want to get back to the transcript?
Transcript.
So earlier this week, the transcript of the conversations that President Trump had with the President of Mexico and the Prime Minister of Australia.
Correct.
Were released. And we found out, and here's the thing. For me, it was like, oh, he talks the same way to leaders of other countries as he does to the country.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Actually, yes, he does, but not necessarily. The president of Mexico, if you read that transcript, he lied to the people of the United States when he said they're going to pay. Mexico's going to pay for it. No.
And he said, you're making me look bad. You're going to make me look bad.
It's a complete and total lie. It's obvious he knew that Mexico was never going to pay for the wall. But yet he kept telling us that. And a lot of folks believed him.
And I think we should say that
now, who believed? Who honestly?
35%.
No, they did not.
I think
the 35% that were all in and are still all in. I think that maybe half of those.
No, that's too many people. It's 22 to 28% that are all in.
Okay.
I mean, let's be specific.
So I don't think that even that entire group believed that Mexico was ever going to pay for the wall. Because
if they still
believe that I have a wall, I can sell you.
I think most of them did, and I think most of them still do, Patty.
Yeah, I don't, think he's right.
Because they
but
believe
why?
What he says. They believe no. what he says. It
yes.
boggles
yes.
our minds,
so much,
but they believe what
Dave,
he says.
They are so much smarter than that. They would
no,
they
they're
are,
not.
They,
wrong answer.
They don't believe that. They you do know, not I, believe I, that I, Mexico you know, Dave, will build a wall.
I think there's some of them are that, but I think Patty's got a point. I think some folks see that as just rhetorical.
They know what why
and
he's saying it.
They understand where
yes.
Trump is going. Yes. They understand where he's going.
I will, and why he's doing it.
I will
why
say
he's
this.
Doing it, and
maybe,
they get it. They get it. They know it's just kind of for theater.
Right.
I do think there's an element of that.
I will say
like
this once.
Healthcare would be a beautiful thing.
I will
correct.
Say this
great.
Once or twice in my life. I agree with David Lundy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is a shocker.
You think people believe... Please. Wait, you think that people
Mark
really
the tape,
believe...
Right there. Mark
right there.
The tape.
The overwhelming
that
majority.
Our texters are
yes,
angry with this conversation.
Of his supporters. Of his support, of his core supporters, yes.
I'd say about half
this.
Of them
no.
believe this. I think half
they
of them
believe,
believe
that
what he says is
no.
just rhetorical.
Yeah.
It's for show. They like the energy. They like the direction he's going. They like what it stands for. And half of them actually take it seriously and literally.
You haven't lived where I've lived. I mean, I lived in Birmingham, Alabama for 13 years, and I can guarantee you
look,
that a majority of the people there, the majority of the voters, believe what he said and believe he'll do
no.
what he does and believe that that Mexico will pay for the war.
Well, they must
so
be really disappointed
well,
right about
and that's
now.
Why Donald Trump said he was going to be in such political trouble in that transcript.
Of course.
And by the way, there, so much... Sorry, Patty.
No, go ahead. No.
So much of what happens with Donald Trump and these things that he says... I keep going back to my cousin Vinny. You were serious about that? You know, he
right.
but he was. And so in this transcript with the Mexican president, he, first of all, in both of these transcripts, he looks weak. He's so weak. He's prostrating himself before these foreign leaders, begging them not to make him look bad. I'm going to look so bad. I'm going to look
right.
like a fool. I'm going to look like
as
an
if
idiot.
As if they should care about stuff he can't pay
right.
on.
He bashes the living you-know-what out of Mexico.
Wait, oh, no, wait. So you're saying that not only did Trump supporters believe that Mexico would pay for the wall, President Trump believed that Mexico would pay for the wall.
No, President Trump believes that his supporters believe that he's going to...
Okay,
see, I've never met her.
I'm going to say... They all have.
Wow.
Everybody else
oh,
in the
yeah.
studio has met my mom. Oh, right.
Wonderful
because you're
woman.
Scott Santis.
Yes.
So,
just a cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, apparently.
Who's not here anymore. It's amazing, the virtual reality thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, we're watching Holiday this Thursday night in the green room.
Oh, I told Janine, my
she coming?
Wife. Yeah.
Popcorn and pajamas?
Yes.
All right, excellent.
Oh, my God.
You guys
is.
Are all welcome. I mean,
what time?
What time?
We're going to watch probably, I would say, like, it has to be by 8 o'clock, 8:30.
Well, I was going to say 8, 8:30.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be out of town. Sorry.
Oh, stop.
At 8 o'clock?
In your jammies?
Actually, that day I'm going to be in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and I'm for work, and I'm picking
wait,
Eli.
Wait,
no, hold
for
on.
For work, what? A bear is running for office? What the hell?
I have a client trying to build an energy project. Anyway, the point is I'm up there for work, and I'm so excited because I wasn't planning to do this, but I get to pick up my son Eli, who's been at overnight camp for a month.
Aww.
And so I'm so excited I get to do that Thursday morning.
Now.
He does.
Does he play cool games like we do on my radio show?
No, he doesn't.
All right, let's play a cool game. Let's play What's That From? Eric, are you? What was that dance move you just did?
I'm sorry, I was waiting for the music cue. Oh, what's that from?
That's all right. What's that from? I don't have the music. I don't have the button for me. Hold on, let me see if I can find something fun for you. No, I don't have any. Hold
don't
on.
You, don't
Someone
you.
Else talk for a minute. Let me see if I have.
How about some Alice for, Cooper?
So here we are here in downtown Chicago.
How about some Alice
beautiful.
From the Brady Bunch?
Looking out these.
How about
windows?
Alice and James?
Dinner, everyone.
I got this.
Is it wrong?
How about
say...
Alice and Janie?
Who did she date? She dated a butcher.
We've got to clear up the Captain America
no,
thing.
No, Alice from the Brady Bunch. Hey,
yeah, who did create Captain America?
Hold on. It's a trick question. Elliot, it's a trick question. Because Captain America was developed long before Stan Lee ever came on the scene.
Correct.
Am I right?
Yes.
Roger, we didn't have time to answer that question.
Well, while you're fumbling around for something, I figure I'd go ahead and say it.
That would be Stan. Phil. It was Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, yes.
Yeah.
That's right. We've read shows.
You know,
we've done shows.
It ain't over till it's over. We have time for What's That From? You're listening pretty late. When you realize
nothing to do.
Yeah, but this music.
But it's cool.
Talk like this.
Yeah.
Hey, baby.
That's right. Baby. We've.
What are you doing today?
Well, it's time.
We've talked shows and we've read shows and we've done shows.
Whoa, what's that? Oh, that's Big and Rich.
Right
okay, here we go.
Another cowboy?
Oh, this was Craig's favorite. Like, he
Patty, we are never going to have time to get through this scene.
All right, we're going to start our scene right now. Who is doing stage directions for What's That From?
Me.
We're doing it, and then we'll have like 1 minute before our top of the hour.
Are you ready?
We're all the breaks at the top.
Okay. Ready.
I'm ready.
Yes, ready. Yes, go
all right.
Ahead.
Interior
yes.
Family car night. Mom drives William to the San Diego Sports Arena. She looks out the window at the adrenalized concert goers. She feels protective, not just of her son, but an entire generation. William goes over his questions for Black Sabbath.
Look at this. An entire generation of Cinderellas, and there's no slipper coming.
William looks out the window at the sign. Tonight, sold out, Black Sabbath, with special guest Stillwater.
You can drop me off here.
Black Sabbath. Just remember, you wanted to be Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird.
The kid doesn't answer. He silently goes over his questions.
As long as I know this is just a hobby, I'll go along with it.
All I have to do is listen. That's what Lester Bang said.
I'll be waiting here right here at 11 o'clock sharp. If you get lost, use the family whistle.
He unhooks his seatbelt, stuffs his questions into an orange canvas shoulder bag, and exits. Elaine watches her son disappearing into the Stony Rock concert crowd. It's a windy night. Everything about this image troubles her. She fights with herself and then uses the family whistle. Immediately, he turns.
Don't do drugs!
15 concertgoers turn around instinctively at the sound of a mother and then identify William as the object of her concern. All around him, we hear...
Don't do drugs!
He winces, nods, and moves forward. Music echoes from the open windows of many other cars. Exterior, San Diego Sports Arena, backstage ramp, nighttime. The kid trots down the steep incline leading to a small steel backstage arena door. He rings the buzzer. The door wheezes open to reveal the keeper of the San Diego Sports Arena's backstage list. Famous to all those who attempt to enter, this is Scotty. He is a wiry, humorless man for whom powerlessness is the theme of his life, except for those few hours he controls the list. Scotty is only 40, but everything about him screams that he's an angry 60.
Hi, I'm William Miller, and I'm here from Cream Magazine to interview the band Black Sabbath.
Scotty, immediately suspicious, moves to a nearby podium and snaps through three clipboard pages. He moves back to the door and grabs the handle.
Not on the list.
He shuts the door with finality. The kid stands silently for a moment. He looks over his shoulder at two chattering groupies watching his dilemma from the top of the ramp. They look at him sympathetically, but he turns away. William rings the buzzer again, withdrawing a copy of Cream from his bag. The door opens.
Sir, I'm a journalist. Here's a copy of the magazine.
You're not on the list. Go on the top of the ramp with the girls.
Slam. William stands there for a moment, Unsure of what to do next, he looks back to the top of the ramp. Rejected by his just moments earlier, the groupies now feign disinterest. Bracing himself, William rings again. The door opens slowly this time. Scotty stands peering at him.
What happens after I go to the top of the ramp?
Slam! Lock. Exterior, top of sports arena ramp. Nighttime. William inches into the realm of the girls at the top of the ramp. The wind whips. It's just him and two groupies in their evening best. They now pretend to barely notice the young journalist who has been banished to stand with them. Chattering excitedly, with sophistication far beyond her 17 years, is Estrella. She sports long, unruly black hair. Her partner hangs in the shadows, adjusting shoes. Estrella turns to the kid with great disinterest.
Who are you with?
Me? I'm with myself.
No. Who are you with? What band?
I'm here to interview Black Sabbath. I'm a journalist. You know, I'm not, you know.
Estrella stares at him, moving into the parking lot like introducing herself is a luminous girl in a green fox fur trim coat. This is Penny Lane. There is an inviting warmth and real interest in the way she asks.
You're not a what?
I'm not a, you know.
Not a what?
You know, groupie.
The two girls are deeply insulted by the word.
Sorry, I...
We are not groupies.
Estrella indicates Penny with great reverence.
This is Penny Lane, man. Show some respect.
Sorry.
Penny steps closer, focusing completely on the kid. Behind her, concertgoers throw a few woo-woos their way. She seems not to hear them.
Groupies sleep with rock stars because they want to be near someone famous. We are here because of the music. We are Band-Aids.
She used to run a school for Band-Aids.
We don't have intercourse with the guys. We support the music. We inspire the music. We are here because of the music.
William is nodding like a doll in a dashboard window, listening.
Mark Bolan broke her heart, man. It's famous.
It's a long story. I'm retired now. I'm just visiting friends.
She was the one who changed everything. She said, no more sex, no more exploding our bodies and hearts.
Right, right.
Just kissing, and that's it.
Okay, well, I see. Now I get the difference.
Shot drifts off him and picks up, out of the darkness, another breathless girl teetering on tall shoes. She's in the vicinity of 16. Her black hair is cropped short and dyed red, just like the cover of Bowie's Aladdin Sane. She is Plexia, the voluptuous one from Riverside.
It's all happening. It's all happening.
Plexia, did you tell Sabbath we were going to be here?
I talked to Dick with Stillwater. I talked with Sabbath. They're still dying to see us. It's all happening.
This is our journalist friend. Journalist friend, meet Estrella Star and Plexia Aphrodisia, and you are...
William.
Silent beat. His name lands like a thud.
Here comes Sabbath!
Ozzy! Tony! It's us!
312-981-7200. What's that from?
Dude, on behalf of your friend Aaron Lawler, I am offended by for gay people everywhere.
Wait, he was doing a woman.
I know, but it didn't sound like a woman.
What did it sound like?
It sounded like a caricature of a gay man.
It didn't. I thought it sounded like a man trying to sound like a teenager. I did. I didn't think it sounded like a gay man.
Oh, for sure.
Excellently done, too, if I may say so.
Gag me with a spoon. Like,
totally.
Like,
oh, my God.
Like, oh, my God.
Rally girl.
What are we giving away?
312-981-7200. We have an Apt Electronics gift card to give away, making families happy for so many generations in the Chicagoland area and now throughout the world, because you can go to apt.com for all the amazing wear they have there. They have everything. If you go there, have you been to Apt Electronics?
I have not. Tell me
more. Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No, tell me more. No.
How are you alive?
You can lose yourself there.
You can lose yourself.
Apt is
the
place.
I have no soul.
And I've been going to Apt since Apt was just like a crappy little electronics store, appliance store.
Let's be fair. It was a small electronics store, and then it was in Mount Prospect. Wasn't it Morton Grove?
No, it was Morton Grove.
Morton Grove.
It was a little appliance store.
Yes. Wasn't it first in Niles, then Morton Grove,
yes,
then Glenview?
And then the mega place, the Palace in Glenview. And it is a palace. And on the weekends, of course, they have those freshly baked cookies.
Oh, my God.
They're so
well,
good.
And the fountain, and they have that, like, there's so many things going on. They have a Le Creuset. Like the, they have, like, stores within the
oh,
store.
Oh, yeah. No, no, it's
they have an
fantastic
Apple store. They have your, you know. Your,
wait, an Apple store?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, Apple store.
I'm on the website right now. I'm shopping some products. They are
yeah, yeah, the
bundle.
Website is not the experience. You must go
yeah,
to
actually,
the experience.
Yes.
By the way, is App going to pay us more? Can we get more gift cards? Can I get one
absolutely
finally?
Absolutely, we can get more gift cards. But you know why? Because Steve Shapiro is a friend of the show. Everything in my house that gets plugged into the wall comes from app.com.
Oh, God bless so, you know, them.
I mean, honestly, my washer, my dryer, my dishwasher, my stove. I'm actually going through my whole house right now thinking about it.
Yeah, and no, we only buy stuff like that at App.
They currently yes. have a back-to-school sale on.
Hello.
So all electronic devices in your home.
All of them. Well, except in the,
whoa.
See, that's rechargeable.
Hey,
doesn't count.
Hey, though.
Doesn't count.
And I switch from AA batteries to rechargeable because it's just more environmentally friendly.
It is. It
so,
is.
Patrick, what was Patrick?
A grateful
let our
globe
listener,
thanks you.
Let our listener answer the question. Patrick, what's that from?
Almost Famous.
Hey!
Way to go, Patrick.
Patrick, you were holding on for quite a while. How many lines in from Roger's description of the scenery did it take you? Was it the first line? It seemed as though it was the first.
Pretty much like the first line, and I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure it's that one. And then obviously when he said Lester Bangs, I'm like, yeah, it's definitely that one.
I got to be honest with you. I would not have gotten this for at all.
Oh, really? I would have gotten it.
Really?
Totally.
Really?
I would not
oh,
have.
Yeah.
I would
you're
not have
smarter
gotten
than
it.
Me.
I've seen this movie.
Ken?
Would
you,
lot.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had this from the get-go. Yeah.
You know what I was excited about when I saw this
wow.
movie? There was a, do you, Patrick, do you know of a comedian? There was a comedian that's in a scene. He plays one of the roadies. And I think they were sitting around a table, maybe playing cards. Do you know the famous comedian that's in the movie that, who has since passed away?
Well, I mean, Lester Bangs was played by
Philip Seymour
Hoffman.
Yeah, there's a stand-up comic, a groundbreaking stand-up comic who is in the movie.
I don't remember.
Mitch Hedberg appears in the movie.
Is he really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh my God, my kids love.
He's wearing his round like tinted glasses. Oh, he was. Mitch Hedberg was one of my favorite people on the planet.
Was he a good guy?
He was such a good
guy.
Oh,
my
guy.
Kids would love to hear that.
There was a night. Here was the thing about Mitch Hedberg was he was performing at Zany's, and this is in the early 2000s. There were a lot of comics that I had the pleasure of working with who before. They were really famous. Include at the end of the 90s too. It was Lewis Black. We had maybe 26 people on a Thursday night. Mitch Hedberg, there were probably 12 people in the
wow.
in the club on a Sunday night. And somebody loved his comedy so much they had come to see him 3 times that week.
Yeah.
And during that week, Mitch had done things. You know, he hung around Chicago, and this audience member goes, "You got your hair cut." And he goes, and if you know Mitch, he goes, "Yes, I did. I got them all cut. Otherwise, it would take a long time. And you would not have noticed."
Was he a good guy, though? You
yes. He was a dear, dear man.
That makes me happy.
I adored him immensely. He had a lot of things going on in his life, but he was an incredible human being. And I know who has. He actually inspired me. For those of you who watch on WGNradio.com, you can see that I have my own headphones. I have my own windscreen cover. And one of the reasons I started carrying my own microphones to gigs was Mitch Hedberg. Because I was like, yeah, I can do that. Because I don't like the smell of other people's spit. It's just a thing that I got. So anyway.
I don't like the smell of
other
people's
spit.
And
that's
hair.
A t-shirt.
Wow.
Right there.
So think about it. Smell your microphone covers. Dave doesn't have one, but smell right now during the break.
Yeah,
so
I took it off because it smelled.
Patrick, hold on the line and Elise will take your information. You've got a gift card from Apt Electronics. Thank you so much to Pat.
Other people's spit was my band's name in high school.
I wish I had a bonus.
Dude, can you get two gift cards? Because
hey,
that was awesome.
Patrick, can you hold on the line?
Are you doing Via Veneto?
And Elise, for Patrick, for Pat and Christy, if they're interested, I have the very last Female Funnies at Zany's coming up in September. We are going to, series is being ended after 8 years, and you can actually come into the club and see where Mitch Hedberg has appeared and Lewis Black and that's where I work. So come hang out with me at Zany's on Wells for our last Female Funnies. Quick break here and more after this on 720 WGN. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio. Matt Bubala is in the studio and up next. Can you do... Oh, we don't have the... I don't have the music for Tell Me Something Good, but I think that we should still do something good before Matt takes over
Tell
the airwaves.
You guys should. Absolutely.
Good.
There you go.
Get it. Get it, Dave. There it is. Ken Jacobowski, tell me something good.
Hey, I want to. I just want to thank the medical staff at Feinberg at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, 14 East, especially Monica, my mother's nurse. My mom was there for 4 or 5 days about a week ago, and absolutely incredible the job that the staff did. The doctors, the medical professionals, and Monica, if there is such a thing as Nurses Monthly magazine, she ought to be on the cover. She was an amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing the way she took care of my mother. It really took my breath away sometimes. So thanks to everybody. Mom's doing great. And just people doing good work.
That's amazing. And the thing is that nurses really do make the difference of someone's recovery. We think of the doctors having all this expertise, and the nurses take care of the things that nobody else can.
It made my mom, I mean, she picked my mom up so much, and it was just, you know, and it's what she does. That's what she does, yeah. You know? So it was really great to watch.
That's awesome. So Scott, since you left about 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Do you have anything good to tell us before Matt takes
over?
Yeah,
you know, this is going to sound counterintuitive. Dick Locher, who was the cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune in the 80s, he won a Pulitzer for them. I got a call from his son that he's got into hospice care. Oh, and this sounds counterintuitive. No, here's the thing. He's 89 years old, and Dick is probably the only person in my life who I would use the word courtly and gentleman to describe. He was a great man. He's suffering, and his suffering will be over soon. But that's okay. That's how
you're
we
celebrating
live.
His life.
What an amazing.
What's
guy.
His name again?
Dick.
Dick Locher.
Locher.
Dick Locher. Everyone, look up Dick Locher.
He's one of the greatest cartoons.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. A great cartoon.
Yeah. My mom. His son is my mom's boss at Illinois Masonic.
Is that right? Who?
Steve Locher.
Steve is the one who called me.
See what's happening.
Wow. That's crazy.
Small world.
He's in the OB gynae department.
So if you say a little prayer to whatever furry god you pray to, say it for Dick.
Why is your god furry?
Well, whatever. All I don't care. But here's the thing. Dick Locher was a good man. A good person.
Wonderful.
And, you know, the world is a better place for in it.
I did the station IDs. I did the minute Matt sat down.
She did.
Yeah, I don't
play.
That's
been drilled into her, Lee. She's got that.
Thank you, Dan Long. Yes.
For 30 years.
I don't want to skip anybody. Does anyone else have something good to tell us?
I already talked about it. I'm so excited to be seeing Eli, who's been gone for three weeks. And I can't wait to see my son again.
I was at the Chicago Botanic Gardens today. It is stunning. Get yourself there any time of year, really. There's no good time of year. There's every day of the year to go to the Chicago Botanic Gardens. Eric, do you have anything before you want to go?
Yeah, looking forward to getting back on the motorcycle this weekend. Hopefully it's August again and not October. This weekend
it was beautiful today.
It was beautiful, but it was October.
It was 1st. Weird.
It's 61 degrees
Eric,
right now.
Stop by my house, and I will take you shopping, and I will buy you a helmet. I will pay for it.
I'm guessing he has a helmet that he wears on the handlebars.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Keep them safe.
Yeah, that's exactly. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. Good
it's
to see
good
you.
Good to see you.
Excellent. What's coming up on your show?
All right. So the guys will be interested in this. So a girl I become friends with on Twitter. I don't even know how. You know, you end up friends with. Oh, stop it. Just stop it. Where are you going?
No, we
you know
are.
Where we're
something
going.
We need to talk about.
I can only see Pat.
I mean,
no, just somebody I started following on Twitter. She's from Chicago. She lives in L.A. She writes for Adam Ruins Everything. Mm-hmm. But she's a Democratic Socialist, and they're having a convention this weekend.
Interesting.
So I invited her to come in and explain to me what the hell Democratic Socialism is.
I heard
chat about that.
I heard someone on John Williams' show, and I'm like, you ain't doing anybody any favors, dude.
No, actually.
There are a whole bunch of Democratic Socialists in the state of Minnesota.
No, and a friend of mine who grew up with my kids is running as a Democratic Socialist candidate in Birmingham, Alabama.
Here's what I read today. Socialism and capitalism, neither one of those things exists in their pure forms anywhere in the world. So good luck with that. That's all. Okay. That was too much. That was a little dismissive.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay, <I'm> just...
She going to kick your ass as you
have
walk
fun.
Out of here.
All right, then. Yeah,
Eugene
Debs
is just like turning over his grave.
Well, he was a communist.
Those of you who saw the movie Reds, it's the story of John Reed.
Arise,
in so many
ye
ways.
Children of starvation.
John Reed discovered that, too.
I choose democracy. It's rowdy, and the currency is callousness. And here we are. Let's enjoy it.
What else is coming up?
By the way, what else is coming up on your show?
That's all. That's it. That's it.
Oh, yeah, because Patty, I'm not going to say anything else because you're just going to diss my guests.
Democratic socialism is all you got on the show.
Well,
because
they take
hours?
Over and then they don't let you do anything else. She nationalized my show.
That was well done.
Bubala's going to be getting the let out.
Well done.
Yeah, we
Matt
are.
Bubala. All right, then.